and WGNU radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother, help me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's a low base.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We have so much stuff to talk about this morning, so much stuff. I just, I'm not letting it go. Number of things. I'm not letting it go. Because this is an indictment. This is another indictment on the lawless regime that has taken over our country. Dick Cheney, and here's the thing. I think we need to call Dr. Justin Frank and ask him to do a Cheney on the Couch book. Because this dude had to be sticking firecrackers up the butts of antelope when he was a child. Because this snarly old man hasn't come out and apologized. The vice president of the United States shot a 78-year-old man in the face, and he hasn't come out and apologized for it. He says it was an accident. He hasn't come out and apologized for it. Let me say it again. The vice president of the United States of America shot another American. He shot a 78-year-old Republican man in the face with a gun, and he hasn't apologized for it. Feel that. Feel the administration that is running this country. So let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Let me ask you this. If the Vice President of the United States, who shot a 78-year-old Republican contributor supporter in the face, and he hasn't apologized to him, what do you think your grandma got coming? The Vice President of the United States shot a 78-year-old man in the face. He lied about it for 24 hours because I was taught, I went to some Catholic schools. There are sins of commission and there are sins of, what's the word, boys and girls? Don't let me have to rap you on your knuckles with a ruler. Sins of commission and omission. It's just as big of a lie not to tell it as the big whopper that you told. He has committed the sin, the lie of omission. So, the Vice President of the United States of America shot a 78-year-old man in the face, lied about it, and hasn't apologized for it. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you know what? That 78-year-old man had a heart attack yesterday. And you know what Scott McClellan did? He's a spokesperson for this wicked, twisted, lawless, God-forsaken administration. Scotty McClellan, you know what he said? After the heart attack, and the man who had a heart attack is a 78-year-old man who was shot in the face by the Vice President of the United States. Scotty McClellan wore an orange tie to the press conference and was tee-heeing, ha-haing, hooting it up. It's a big jokester to them. He said, I'm wearing an orange tie just so Dick Cheney doesn't shoot me. Hee-hee. Well, baby, the 78-year-old man that your boss shot in the face just had a heart attack. You think this is the time for jokes? I guess in the snarly, lie-filled, greed-beyond-description world of these evildoers, I guess it is time for a party. After all, he hit his target, right? Party down! The Vice President of the United States shot a 78-year-old man in the face. That 78-year-old man is going to be wearing shrapnel in his body until he shuffles off his mortal coil. That 78-year-old man who was shot in the face by the Vice President of the United States is lying in intensive care right now after suffering a heart attack. He may die. He's 78 years old. Lesser things than being shot in the face have killed 78-year-old people. Hell, a fall down the stairs can kill some 78-year-old people. This man was shot in the face. And the Vice President of the United States, he says, I ain't got to apologize for crap. You can't make me with his snarly, you know what? You know how you tell he's lying when he besides the fact that he opened up his mouth? Beside that obvious fact, how you know Dick Cheney's lying? When he opens up his mouth and speaks, then you know he's lying. Let me tell you some other lies. The truth ain't in him. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the truth ain't in these sons of guns. It ain't in them. The truth ain't in them. The White House now claims Bush was informed on Saturday night and the accident happened on Saturday, that someone in Cheney's hunting party had been shot. But Bush was not told that the victim was shot by Cheney. How do you leave that detail out? How do you leave that detail out? Huh? The White House seemingly never intended to tell the press that it happened at all. The Republic found the story out because a reporter got wind of the story. Here's something else. New questions are being raised as to whether the White House staff contacted local police immediately after the shooting as required by law. They were supposed to tell the police that somebody had been shot. I hope so, for God's sake. It's not funny. It's not funny. This man has had a heart attack. A 78-year-old man was shot in the face by the Vice President of the United States, and the Vice President of the United States hasn't apologized. What do you think you have coming? I mean, for Christ's sake, isn't it fundamental humanness? If you do something harmful to another person by accident, what do they make little two-year-olds do? Tell your brother you're sorry for knocking him over the head with your Batman toy. Okay? Tell your brother you're sorry. Even when the little rugrats ain't sorry, you make them say that they're sorry. Because that's humanness. That is training your child to be a human in the world filled with other human beings. This boy, Dick Cheney's mama must have said after she caught him pummeling his brother with his rock'em sock'em robot, "Hit him again, Dick," must have been what his mama said. And never say you're sorry. Never say you're sorry. Here's what Mary Matlin said. How do we know he's not sorry? Obviously, aside from the fact he hasn't apologized for it, how do we know he's not sorry? Mary Matlin, another snarly, no-lipped individual. This is a woman who was so intolerant. So filled with I gotta come up with the word of what she's filled with. Because what you got to be mad about? You got everything. Tell me why you mad now, baby? Because I don't understand. I guess she's what my mama would have called mad at the world for no good reason. Mad at the world for no good reason. This snarly woman said, and I quote, "The vice president was concerned," said Mary Matlin. "He felt badly, obviously, stupid. On the other hand, he was not careless, incautious, or violate any of the rules. He didn't do anything he was supposed to." Okay, sweetie, he shot a 78-year-old man in the face. And what are the words that come out of this creepy woman? He didn't do anything he wasn't supposed to. So that leaves us with only one road to walk down. You intended to shoot this man. The vice president didn't do anything he wasn't supposed to. The vice president of the United States shot an innocent man, an innocent 78-year-old man in the face. And he hasn't apologized for it. He lied about it. He tried to cover up for it. And when given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, today is Wednesday. This happened on Saturday, we think. Now is the reason why Dick Cheney didn't want to talk to the police is because he was drunk out his mind? Is that the reason why he kept him? Is that why they kept him away from the police? Was he stoned? Was he performing some kind of pagan ritual out there? Violating virgins? I don't know. They had to clean up or something? He shot a 78-year, an innocent 78-year-old man in the face with a gun. What was he doing? Had he let loose a bunch of 78-year-old Social Security recipients, let them loose in the field, and then they would just chase them down with cars and guns, and he just thought that was another one of them? Is that what he did? Is that how they hunt in Texas? This is one way to cut down on the Social Security rolls. Kill all the 78-year-olds out there. We're in a world of trouble. We are in a world of trouble. If they shot, no. Dick Cheney shot a 78-year-old man in the face and hasn't apologized. What do you think the Iraqi people got coming from this administration? I can tell you what they got coming, but I can't say it on the air. I can't say it on the air because it involves cussing. And they ain't got that. They ain't got Jack, y'all. And if he shot a 78-year-old white male Republican major contributor in the face and hasn't apologized, what do you think we got coming? He hadn't apologized for shooting one of his own. Damn! He hasn't apologized for shooting one of his own. Come on now. He hasn't apologized for shooting one of his own. And he lied about it. Good God. Good God. Good God. Good God. Good God. We're in a world of trouble. We're in a world of trouble. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. Good God. We're in a world of trouble. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How you doing? Girl.
Better than the 78-year-old man who was shot in the face by the Vice President of the United States.
You got that right. Listen, I watched that press conference yesterday.
With Scotty McClellan?
Yeah.
How you know he's lying?
Girl, he said it 8 times. We just want to move on.
I know you do.
I didn't learn until the 6 o'clock news. He knew about it then.
Yes, he did.
That the man had a heart attack.
Yes,
that
he did.
Come out till later in the afternoon. But he kept telling 8 different reporters that wanted to ask more questions.
Yes, he did.
We just got to move on. Y'all want to stay on this? This past happened. I mean, I thought he had his eyes all squinted up, looking like somebody had fed him a rotten carrot. And he kept saying that. But, Liz, you know, what you're saying is so true. If you and I are out there playing volleyball, I turn around and hit you in the face.
Elbow
and we
me.
Think it's minor.
Mm-hmm.
But I should at least apologize.
Sorry, man.
What is he hiding from?
Sorry.
I mean, what is the reason?
Because the truth ain't in him and God ain't in him. Okay? The man doesn't believe that he's done. I can shoot any damn body I want to is what he's saying. I can shoot anybody. Shut up. Get out of my way. I'm the Vice President of the United States. If I want to shoot a 78-year-old white man in the face, I'm going to do it. And ain't nothing you can do to stop me. That's why he hasn't apologized.
Well, it sure makes it seem like something's behind it because I talked to the policeman that came out there. The police learned about it from the newspaper report.
Ain't that some stuff?
And he came out there to see. They sent him away.
Mm-hmm. He tried to talk to the Secret Service, and the Secret Service said, this is the Vice President of the United States. If he wants to shoot a 78-year-old man in the face, that's what he can do.
Okay.
Get out the way of the ambulance, okay? Get out the way of his doctors. Get out the way of his fibrillators. Get out the way.
Doc! Talk to you later.
Right now. 454. Yeah, I advise. Can't you just see the Secret Service men with their dark glasses and their earpieces and their dark suits? I advise you to duck. Move along. Move along. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. Jesus, God. Jesus, God.
Whoa. Oh. Mercy, mercy. St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Gold's Gym. Eastbound 64, 5570 split. That incident has been cleared. Westbound 70 at Adelaide. There's a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge to Timberlake Manor. No problems with 40. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 in Marshall. That traffic is building. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and New Halls Ferry. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 between Jennings Station and Shreve. No problems to report there. Eastbound 40 from 170 to Bellevue looks good. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. No problems to report. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. That traffic is flowing freely. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way onto Laclede's Landing looks good. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gold's Gym. It's not too late to act on that New Year's resolution. Join Gold's Gym today and get 50% off enrollment or 2-for-1 when you bring a friend. Call 1-800-99-GOLDS or visit goldsgym.com today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Variable cloudiness, cooler, a shower is possible this afternoon, a high around 55. This evening mostly cloudy, a little rain is possible with a low around 45. For Thursday, a couple of showers, even a thunderstorm is possible, high around 55. Thursday evening cloudy, chance of rain with a low around 25. Then on Friday, chilly and partly cloudy with a high only around freezing. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 46. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 47. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic Entertainment. Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars and prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Pandy Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters. And associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. Ooh. Ooh. There's so much stuff to talk about. There is so much stuff to talk about. Let's get to it. You're on the wake-up call, Bob.
Hey, Miss Liz, how you feeling?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
All right, Liz, I thought about something what you said, and here's the thing. Everybody's been saying this. Now, picture this. They're out there. They're going hunting. They get into an argument, and he blows the guy's face off, and he says, I ain't apologizing. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if the man gets mad at me, because, look, Liz, you're hitting the thing on the head like the last caller said. When you're playing volleyball, excuse me, I'm sorry. He knows that the world is watching this. I ain't apologizing. He shouldn't have did what he... We don't know what happened, but it's going to come out in the light. What happened?
We know what happened. He shot a 78-year-old innocent man in the face. We know that.
Well, we know that part, but it's the reason. It's some reason why.
No, well, it doesn't... You know what? The fact of the matter is that we know two things. He shot an innocent...
Right.
78-year-old white male Republican in the face, and he hasn't apologized.
Right.
We know those two things.
Right. But, Liz, what I'm saying is, he knows he's the vice president of the United States. He knows this is making him look bad. What I'm saying is, he's so mad that he's saying, you know, what the hockey sticks, I'm not going to apologize. Because if it was a mistake, he would have got him to say, look, I'm sorry.
Or, Bob, you know, it could be that he's so mad. I submit to you, Bob, that... It's not because he's so mad. It's just because it's in his nature. He doesn't apologize. He doesn't feel
right.
He has to apologize for anything, no matter what he does. Heck, he hasn't had to apologize for lying to get us in the war. He hasn't had to apologize for keeping us out of the energy meeting and then crafting legislation with the energy people that made them have the highest profits in the history, quarter profits in the history of corporation and dumb. He hasn't had to apologize for releasing the name of Valerie Plame. He hasn't had to apologize for nothing, and look who his boss is.
Right.
Has he apologized for? It's not in their nature. God ain't in them.
Right, Liz. Oh,
you know,
okay,
I mean,
Liz.
He ain't mad. That's just who he is.
Oh wow. Okay, thanks a lot, Liz.
Shoot. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake up call.
Yes. Good morning,
Christine. Good morning.
I wanted to talk about. I think his name is Harry Whittington. This 78-year-old man that Dick Cheney shot, calling him Ricochet Dick.
Ricochet. It was dead on. He shot him in the face.
We really don't know whether they were friends. I mean, that's something that the media put out there. But what a report that is factual is that both of them had belonged to that hunting lodge for many years, and they had never been on any kind of duck hunting or quail hunting or before together. So that's strange in itself that they had never been hunting together. And one other thing, those BBs or buckshots that's left in Whittington's body, they are all over.
Let's call them what they are, Christine, shrapnel.
Shrapnel,
okay.
Yes. The doctor reported that the shrapnel that's left in the body, a lot of them are near vital organs, mm-hmm. Not only by his heart, but other vital organs. So that man is in a world of trouble.
He may not live.
No, and because if those bullets shift, like if they're near his lungs
mm-hmm.
or his kidneys, his liver, I mean, he's in a world of trouble.
He's 78 years old. Come on.
And been living 78 years long and never been shot and
shrapnel free
together with Dick.
It's awful. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake up call. It is a remarkable thing. It's a remarkable thing that they lied about this, they covered it up, and a 78-year-old man has been shot in the face by the Vice President of the United States. And let me ask you something, and I'm not asking this question to everybody that's listening. I'm only asking this question to those of you that had your faces stuck in the zipper of Bill Clinton for a number of years. Why you wanted to be there is a mystery to me, but stuck you were. Stuck you were. And you all moaned and groaned as you had your face plastered in his privates. You moaned and groaned about how this was sending such an awful message to your children. You talked about how your children would never have respect for the White House again because they had to hear words they didn't understand. And because you had your face stuck in the zipper of Bill Clinton, you said that your children were forever traumatized because a consenting adult cheated on his wife with another consenting adult. And you just felt that this brought shame and disgrace upon the White House. So let me ask you something, all you preverts out there that were so consumed with the nasty goings on of a cheating husband. How you like the White House now? How you like the White House now? Dick Cheney. Now, this is truly a lesson that your children could be impacted by. Dick Cheney shot an innocent man in the face, a 78-year-old man in the face. And he hasn't apologized for it. And he's lied about it. And the man may die. He's back in intensive care. What's the life lessons for your children here? You still worried Clinton zipper? You still worried about Clinton zipper? Or about the horrible message to the world about the people that are governing our country? Most people in the world just said, okay, Bill Clinton cheated on his wife, whatever. Let them work it out. When people of the world look at our country and say, let me get this straight. The second in command of your country shot a 78-year-old man in the face and he hadn't said he's sorry? Damn. We don't have anything coming. Damn. Dwayne, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. It's an honor to speak with you, ma'am. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. What's on your mind?
Listen, I'm kind of looking at this from a kind of a different angle here, this Dick Cheney thing.
All right, talk to me.
Ms. Brown, what if society as a whole, or the citizens here in the United States, took the same kind of lawless attitude that Mr. Cheney has with this? And kind of follow me here with this for a minute.
All right.
As citizens, we're taught to kind of, abide by the law.
We're told to.
We're supposed to, if I saw a car accident or something wrong out here, and if the police wanted to question me about it, I'm supposed to be forthright by the law.
And you're supposed to submit
information.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what if society as a whole took the same attitude as Mr. Cheney and this administration? Whereas, this is supposed to be that the White House, they're supposed to lead by example for the country, for the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
What if society as a whole just kind of took their same attitude? Why am I saying nothing?
You shot somebody. It was an accident. You didn't go to the police till 24 hours later. What do you think would have happened to you?
Oh, I would have been arrested a long time ago.
And charged, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And charged.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you, Dwayne.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Sam, good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir. I'm a first-time caller, and I have two comments. One with Dick Cheney, one with the vice president. That was something went on in the dark, and it all going to come to the light. And then on the other one is that the police chase. I noticed the first time when he got on there, he said that the police recognized the man's in the car. Now, if you recognize somebody, you know how to get in touch with them. You know how to get them.
Yeah.
Why is you going to chase them?
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, I didn't know the priest, the minister personally, but he had affiliated with the church I went to a year or so. He was affiliated with.
All right.
And I thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. I know you want to get to me. Have patience. Have patience. I will get back at you after this break. Stay with me.
Update. Dateline Washington. A new report due out today from the General Accounting Office shows that the Bush administration has spent over $1.5 billion in the last 2.5 years on public relations and media contracts. Democratic leaders like Henry Waxman and Nancy Pelosi say this just means the president has used taxpayer money to fund covert propaganda here in the United States in an effort to prop up failed policies. The GAO report breaks it down as follows. The Defense Department spent $1.1 billion. The Department of Health and Human Services spent over $300 million. The Treasury Department spent $152 million. And Homeland Security spent $24 million during the period from 2003, 2004, and the first half of 2005. The PR and advertising covered a number of issues like the Army's perspective on the war on terror, the FDA's concerns over importing prescription drugs, and the message that marriage is good. The report only concerns 7 out of the 15 cabinet departments and did not include subcontracts or PR work done by government employees. And Dateline Boston. A study from Harvard University reveals that the No Child Left Behind Act seems to be helping white middle-class children more so than blacks and other minority children. So many compromises have been struck between states and the federal government that a number of schools in predominantly white districts have been able to avoid penalties suffered by other districts that have large minority populations. This cherry-picking approach has led to states manipulating the law in order to reduce the number of schools and districts identified as failing. The original law said that children in every racial and demographic group had to improve scores on standardized tests in math and English each year, or they could face sanctions. What happened is that way more districts and schools turned out to be below average, below achievement levels than were ever anticipated. This led to nearly every state applying for waivers to provisions of the law, to the extent that now no two states are subject to the same requirements. In one blatant example, regions with high white populations got extensions to deadlines to meet requirements for teacher qualifications, but poorer rural areas that had high numbers of black Americans and ethnic minorities in the Southeast and Southwest could not get those same extensions. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else? Big screen televisions. Where else, washers and dryers, refrigerators, stoves. Where else, treadmills, tools. They have it all, everything you need, everything that the Sears at the mall has right here in your community at 3425 Union. That's right, 3425 Union. Come on, Sears. Black-owned, black-operated, the best customer service in town. I'm telling you, they treat you like your gold, silver, diamonds. At Sears at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams. This is Liz Brown. When you go, when you get to shop on, tell them I told you to.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series. On Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park, explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play, Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott, performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017. Or go to www.mohistory.org.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger on AM 920 WGNU, the station that discusses what matters the most to you. Join me from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray of Higher Ground. I'm moving from the 1 to 2 p.m. slot to the 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Monday through Friday slot on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I will talk to you then.
Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning, George.
As I understand it, this fellow was hit with about 200 pieces of birdshot, correct?
That is correct.
Was it mostly in the face area? Is that where it was?
Don't know if it was
okay.
Mostly in the face area, but a lot
of it
was.
You know what? He had to be closer than 30 yards with a shotgun. Even if the shotgun was on full choke, you know, get that tight of a pattern to hit a guy with two, because there's not much more than about 200 little BBs in birdshot.
Wow.
So he got hit with a full load, and it had to be much closer.
Wow.
And even at 30 yards, they're not going to penetrate that
deep.
Much.
You're right.
Penetrate through clothing, you know, at 30 yards, or maybe they would, but, I mean, they're not going to go into his heart at 30 yards. It had to be a lot closer. So that's... You know, there's more to this story that we're not hearing. And, of course, I don't know if you mentioned this or not. Maybe you did about the sheriff's deputy going to the door to question Cheney and being turned away by the secret police.
That is correct.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It is suspicious. I mean, everything about this administration is suspicious. This is just another one of those. This is another way that the suspicion plays out in this administration.
Right. But, you know, we have to be careful not to be caught in this thing of, well, you know, my guy did this, and your guy, you know, this Democrat Republican thing. It isn't about that. We're talking about the criminals that are in there right now. We really ought to focus. I really think it weakens the argument when you bring back past history and about Clinton and things like this. This is just my opinion about it. I think we ought to stay focused on these guys. They're doing enough things wrong. Just keep throwing it up in the face of the American people, and I think we're going to get so sick of it. And remember, I'm sounding like a Democrat. I'm not. I'm a constitutionalist, but we need to get these people out of power.
Thanks for your call.
They're dangerous.
Watch out. You know, duck. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Kenny.
Ms. Brown, how you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm outstanding.
Hey, Ms. Brown, I have a question. Now, you know, when you break the law and something happens like they claim that this happened, an incident with the vice president.
When he shot a 78-year-old man in the face with a gun, yes.
Yeah. Now, let's say, for instance, the guy does die. Do he be charged with manslaughter?
Well, in theory, he could be. In theory, he could be. Let's just break the scenario down in this way. And with the following understanding of how law enforcement works and how the criminal justice system works, every decision to charge somebody is a discretionary decision. They don't have to charge anybody they don't want to. Okay? I mean, it's all human decisions based upon all kinds of things. Okay? So let me ask you this. You are out on a hunting trip. Okay? You shoot somebody. You don't report it to the police. When the police come to talk to you, you send them away. You refuse to talk to them. And you send somebody else out to speak for you on this issue, saying what happened. The guy, and you've always refused to talk to the police. The police kept trying to come to talk to you. You never allowed the police to talk to you. The guy ends up dying. What do you think the attitude of the police towards you are going to be? You think they're going to try to throw some charges at you? Of course they are. Mm-hmm. Of course they are. Whether the charges stick or not, they're still going to have an attitude against you.
Yeah,
and they're also going to conclude that you have something to hide, that you did something wrong.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, they see a gun in a car and they chase somebody down and kill people, despite the fact that we're allowed to have guns in our cars. I can have a gun in my car. But if they see the cops are saying in the city of St. Louis, if I see a gun in your car, I'm going to kill people to get at you and your gun. It's not against the law to have a gun in your car. That is not evidence of a crime when they see a gun in your car, because you're allowed to have a gun in your car.
Right to carry.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. That's the law that as I understand it.
That's right. Well, I know if it was anybody else, then they'd be looking for a good lawyer. All right, Ms. Brown.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Mildred, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. You know, that's what we get for letting the CIA get in control of this country. Now, when we were once the OSS, meaning the Office of Strategic Services, we were much better served in this country. But the CIA has been nothing but problems. Now, regarding Dick Cheney, I'm going to say this and then get off. According to a report I heard yesterday, I think it was from the man, a doctor in the hospital. He said Cheney was shot in the face, in the chest, and in an arm. Thank you, Liz.
All right. You mean Whittington. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-454-6609 is my fax. Tyrone. Good morning. Tyrone.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment about the Coretta Scott King funeral. Did you hear any information about Harry Belafonte? They said that he could not come to the funeral.
Because?
They just told him he was uninvited.
Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Okay.
I will check on it, and if that is so, I just can't believe that. I can't believe that he would be uninvited to the I mean, how could he be? Who where did you hear this?
Al Sharpton. I heard a media clip on the internet, and Al Sharpton was saying that that they were saying that he was uninvited from the funeral.
Okay, let me do some checking on that. If that is the case, then that's hugely bad. That's a big deal. That's a very, very big deal.
Can I tell you one more thing, real quick? I was surfing on the internet last night, and I saw something about Scooter Libby, a T-shirt that they were selling, and it to the effect of he's not taking any appointments from Dick Cheney on going quail hunting. And I thought it was funny, but I saw another shirt that I want to get with Osama Bin Laden picture on it on the phone, and he says, and on the bottom it says, wiretap that, hey. So I think I'm going to get that shirt. It was pretty funny.
You should go to the corner store of my website and get the George Bush Doesn't Care About Black People T-shirt.
Okay, I'll do that too.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. St. Louis Public Schools Watch coming up next. Don't want to miss it. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that you blow at the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution began. Tell me, brothers, how
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The vice president's yet to make an official statement about accidentally shooting a hunting companion last week, and now Democrats and a growing group of Republicans say it's long overdue. But ABC's John Cochran says it's coming.
Bush loyalists privately complained that Cheney and his people mishandled the story. The vice president is expected to deal with the controversy, possibly during a speech in Wyoming on Friday.
Meanwhile, the man Cheney hit had a setback.
The doctors treating the 78-year-old had hoped that the birdshot lodged under Harry Whittington's skin wouldn't cause him any trouble. That was before one of the BBs shifted and caused a minor heart attack Tuesday morning. Despite that, says Dr. David Blanchard of Christus Spahn Hospital,
he will have a full life that the Lord intended him to have, and this shouldn't affect that one way or the other.
Blanchard says there are no plans to try to go in and get the pellet, that the heart trouble it's causing may be treated with medicine. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Corpus Christi, Texas.
A tape of Saddam Hussein made 10 years ago when he was still in power. On the tape, he says that the U.S. could be attacked by terrorists, that the attack could be nuclear or biological, and that it wouldn't be by Iraq. More on this ABC News exclusive from Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross.
The tapes deal with the widespread program of deceit carried out by Saddam and his aides to keep certain secrets from UN inspection teams during the 1990s. It's clear evidence of the widespread efforts to hide nuclear and biological work from the UN.
You can hear more of the tapes on ABC's World News Tonight. It asks a lot of questions and it places a lot of blame. A House committee report on the government's handling of Hurricane Katrina is due out today. Here's ABC's Bill Greenwood.
Government officials at all levels, from the White House on down to Louisiana parishes, were accused of passivity that left the Gulf Coast unnecessarily vulnerable. And the special House committee said that failure cost lives and should disturb all Americans.
ABC News.
I promise a new coat of paint.
Stain Master Carpet on every floor.
Guys, enough campaigning.
This President's Day weekend, coming to Lowe's for great values on the best brand names. Now through Monday, purchase any 1 gallon of Olympic Premium Interior Paint and get a $5 mail-in rebate, or 5 gallons and get $20 back. Also get 20% off all special order Stain Master Carpet. Discount does not apply to in-stock carpet. Between now and the 20th, use your Lowe's consumer credit card on any purchase of $2.99 or more and ask for special financing for 12 months. See store for details.
Good values are important.
Hey, no debate there.
Another way Lowe's is improving home improvement.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is.
Call 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464.
Joseph Smith says he was too high to remember what he did to Carly Brucia. The Florida man convicted in the kidnapping and murder of the 11-year-old girl told that to the judge at a sentencing hearing yesterday, asking that his life be spared. Too bad, says Carly's stepfather, Steve Kessler.
Didn't change my feelings one bit. It won't bring Carly back. And I don't care what he feels. I'll be happy when I watch him die. That's it.
A judge will decide whether Smith, in fact, gets the death penalty or spends life in prison. She skied again. That's an accomplishment in and of itself. But American skier Lindsay Kildow was too banged up after that bad fall she took earlier this week to medal in the women's downhill. Ted Ligety may still be in a state of shock. The American won the men's combined downhill event. That's the event in which his teammate Bodie Miller was heavily favored to win the gold. But Miller was disqualified early in the race. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Here's an update of WGNU News. This report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. A suspect and an innocent victim are dead, and the St. Louis Police Department is under fire for its chase policy after a pursuit Monday night. The chase through the city ended in a head-on crash that killed 57-year-old Reverend Nathaniel Cole, the pastor of God's Revealing Tabernacle and a radio host. St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa says he's sensitive to what happened, but chases like this are sometimes necessary.
St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department has one of the most restrictive pursuit policies in this region and really in this country, but our policy is clear. If someone threatens or uses deadly force against any citizen in this community, and we believe that the threat is not extinguished, we are going to pursue that vehicle, and unfortunately that's what we had to do.
The crash also critically injured Cole's wife and killed the suspect, 23-year-old Robert Smith. Chief Moakwa says Smith and his two passengers pointed a gun at officers and left them with no other choice but to start a pursuit. One of Smith's passengers, 19-year-old Demetrius Branham, is charged with second-degree murder, resisting arrest, assault on a law enforcement officer, and armed criminal action. Meanwhile, the St. Louis chapter of the NAACP is launching an investigation into that chase and crash. Local NAACP President Harold Crumpton says Reverend Cole lost his life because of needless acts.
The NAACP condemns the careless acts of all involved. We condemn the lack of concern for the safety and welfare of the deceased and his wife, as well as all the citizens who came into contact with this event.
The NAACP is asking police for a copy of the incident report, the city's chase policy, and an audio tape of the chase. Months after the fiery explosion at the Praxair gas processing facility near Lafayette Park, medical officials say they believe that explosion led to a woman's death. The Praxair plant was rocked by the explosion last June 24th, and officials then reported no serious injuries. But according to a report in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the chief city medical examiner, Dr. Michael Graham, has ruled that a 32-year-old woman's death was brought on by the smoke from the explosion. The woman apparently suffered an asthma attack after walking home the day of the fire and never recovered before her death more than a week later. Finally, a 13-year-old girl will remain in state custody after pleading guilty in the death of her younger sister. The teen, who was 12 years old at the time of the killing, pleaded guilty yesterday to a juvenile charge of involuntary manslaughter. Authorities say the girl choked her sister to death during an argument in December of 2004. The teen will be placed in a state residential facility where she could stay until she turns 18. That's a WGNU News report brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Mr. Clean Premium Windshield Wash. Northbound 55 between 141 and Reeves Parish. Normal traffic is looking good there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles 270, no problems there. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge all the way to Timberlake Manor looks good. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, expect delays. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Marshall Road, expect delays there as well. Eastbound 70 from Jennings Station to Shreve looks good. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge to Old Halls Ferry looks good as well. Eastbound 40 from 170 to Bellevue, nothing to report. Southbound 170 from Page to 40, everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Woods Mill all the way into Mason Road, no problems there. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 onto LaCleage Landing, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to the 5570 split looks good. Marine at Dorset, there is a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Mr. Clean Premium Windshield Wash. Before the next winter storm hits, try Mr. Clean Premium Windshield Wash. The advanced formula will keep your windshield clean all year long and protect in up to minus 30 degrees when you need it the most. Try Mr. Clean Windshield Wash today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Variable cloudiness, cooler today. A shower is likely this afternoon, high around 55 this evening. Mostly cloudy with a little rain. The low should be around 45. Thursday, a couple of showers and a possible thunderstorm, high around 55. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain, low around 25. Then on Friday, chilly and partly cloudy with a high only near freezing. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 47 as well. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call at St. Louis Schools Watch. That's up next with Peter Downs. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, feel my brothers, talk to my sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, feel my brothers.
was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Good morning, and welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Yesterday was Valentine's Day and a school board meeting.
Yes, it was.
All right, so let's talk about the school board meeting.
All right. And I should preface this by saying I wasn't there, but I have reports from people who were there. I had the agenda, had briefing on what was going to happen there. But for the sake of my marriage, I did something else.
You did the right thing.
But the school board had a few bouquets to pass out to people who wanted contracts. And they had... it was over $10.5 million in contracts to pass out last night.
I'm just thinking about the babies at Montessori schools that are having to fight the mice for their food, and the babies at Roosevelt High School that haven't had their floor mopped since August, and the babies that are eating moldy food are being served moldy food. How many millions of dollars were handed out to people? $10 million?
Yeah, $10.5 million, and none of it had to do with better food or cleaner buildings.
Who were some of the people that got roses from the St. Louis? And again, I have to say this every time that we come on, because it's critical to our issues here, or it's critical to understanding this district. The reason why there are so many and crazy decisions being made in this district is because we have a person that sits in the superintendent's office who's never been a superintendent anywhere else in the world, who's being paid $300,000, and this district is reflecting the decisions that are being made on behalf of this district is a reflection of the inexperience of this individual. Because, I mean, how else do you explain, and we're going to talk about it a little later, but how else do you explain this reorganization mishmash that this Craig Williams has come up with? So let's look at some of these other just naive types of decision-making that's going on. Where does some of this money go?
All right. The biggest portion of the money, $7.6 million, went to actually a bundle, several different contractors for computer software, computer systems, computer wiring. So I was going to say SBC, but it's AT&T now. AT&T now, mm-hmm. It was part of that, and several other companies got big chunks. There were like $1 and $2 million contracts in that, all of which added up to $7.6 million when you put them all together. This is we've talked before of how Craig Williams has really limited the use of these systems for teachers. So he's not letting them use email to communicate with parents or students. He's not letting them download images so that you know, art teachers can't show pictures from the internet of great works of art. You know, you can't use geography. Teachers can't show pictures of the land and climate and different areas that students are learning about. So it's he's really so we're spending $7.6 million for systems that we aren't using anywhere near their potential because Craig Williams doesn't want teachers to use them.
So then the question I think that is a legitimate question to raise is, so why were these contracts handed out? You know, who were the people that, why were these particular people benefited by these contracts when we have a district that clearly is about suppression of people's access to the internet?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Good question. And you know, a lot of the money now at this time, a lot of the money for these contracts comes from what's called E-rate funding. So there's a federal law designed to promote the use of the internet and email in schools. And there's federal funding that comes out through that. It's distributed by the states, and school systems get it. So they get this money to put in these computer systems so that they use the technology. So the district gets this money. And it's money that has to be spent on the systems, even though they are not using the technology.
And so think of all the political benefit that you get from companies when you hand them out contracts for stuff.
Right.
And we don't know how many bids, because, this, again, because we have such a naive and inexperienced and incompetent in many ways superintendent, we have contracts, million-dollar contracts being handed out with no bids.
Well, with single bids.
Single bids.
Yeah, that has come up before where they... For very generic things, they'll say, oh, there's only one company in the country that supplies this. It's like, you know, hold it. You're talking about, you know...
Chairs for cafeteria.
Cafeteria chairs, you know. They're cafeteria's all across the country, you know.
Okay, so, and then this other piece that I think the teachers should be kind of upset about, this contract for Can't Teach for America.
Yes, Teach for America got $142,000 to basically recruit, select, and place its people in St. Louis public schools.
And these are people that have no teaching degrees. These are kids that are paying off their student loans. I understand any kid trying to pay off their student loan in any kind of way that they have so they don't have that burden for the rest of their life. But these aren't trained teachers. These are not people that went to school to become teachers. These are kids that are trying to pay off their student loans.
Right, right. And you know, some of them may well be very, very dedicated to what they're doing.
They're not
That's
trained,
not the issue.
But they aren't trained.
They're not trained,
and they didn't come to this with the desire to teach. The thing is, they're getting their debts paid off.
Right, and this is $142,000 that is not being used to recruit trained teachers.
Again, another decision by a naive, inexperienced, and in many ways incompetent superintendent. What else do
and
we have?
And we have. Over $300,000 to a company called Gabriel Rader Smith and Company to consult with the board on benefits.
Another consultant.
So it was they were originally hired for I think it was $105,000 for this year. They had that bumped up to $153,000.
And then it got so good to them. It got
and
so
said, oh,
easy to them. Let's go for the golden ring. How much are they asking for this year?
So I said they got bumped up to $153,000 this year, and then another one for next year for $165,000.
So about $300,000.
So about $315,000.
$315,000. And again, consulting on the board's benefits. So what on earth would that be? And why would it have to cost $300,000 to do it?
Well, those are good questions. Good questions. They are, as part of the last teacher's contract, you know, the teachers and the board agreed to, teachers union and the board, agreed to reevaluate the health benefits that teachers and other employees get.
Okay.
why it would cost $300,000 in 2 years to reevaluate those is a good question.
And how long does it take to evaluate
it?
You know, how long does it take? Is this a shifting policy that changes every hour or something that you have to bring in all new people with new training to deal with this? No, it's the same policy that was in the beginning. So why on earth does it cost $300,000? And again, when you put that in the context of children at Montessori that are having to fight mice off for food, children at Roosevelt whose floors haven't been met, dirty, filthy schools, a superintendent that is going through the school saying that the teachers are not only responsible for teaching, not only responsible for planning the classrooms, but now they're responsible for cleaning their classrooms as well.
Yes.
So we're giving $300,000. Craig Williams and Darnetta Klingstell are giving $300,000 to a company and telling teachers, you got to mop, you got to scrub, you've got to disinfect your own rooms.
That's right.
Let me get to a caller here. There's a comment about Sumner High School. Chuck.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for Peter. How are both of you this morning?
Outstanding.
We're fine.
Good. I saw an article in Sunday's paper that had something to do with reorganization. I know they reorganized Fashan, but this article mentioned Sumner, and I haven't heard anything. I have a student. I have my child at Sumner. I asked him about it. He doesn't seem to know anything about it. Are you aware of any changes that they made at Sumner that kind of sound similar to what they did at Fashan?
Thanks for your call and question, Chuck.
Yes, and we'll talk more about this in a while, but specifically about Sumner in the fall. Sumner will become just 10th through 12th grade. The 9th grade will be moved to Turner, what is now Turner Middle School. Turner will become just 9th grade. It'll be the 9th grade center for Sumner, just like Williams, the former Williams Middle School became the 9th grade center for Vashon in January.
Okay. So, any other goodies in the Valentine gifts? Oh, I want to make a comment here about something that happened that has never happened before in 3 years. In the last 3 years, this has never happened. I guess, what a difference an election year makes. Darnetta Klingstell.
Yes, one of these computer equipment contracts was going to AT&T. I think it was probably listed on their agenda as SBC. And Darnetta actually voted no on it.
And she's never voted no on anything.
I'd say that. I'm pretty sure that's the first time in 3 years she's voted no on something that the administration has recommended.
And how did that work out? Did it get passed?
Oh, it got passed. It already was passed by the time she voted, yeah.
So we got a no. So I'm telling you, what happens when somebody is running for re-election? We finally got a no out of her. And before we finish up with this, I want to jump real quick to the forum that was held at Harris Stowe.
Okay.
What was the response of the audience to Darnetta?
There was very little warmness for Darnetta. You know, people applaud things they like, and that you had. I was told by people who were there. I was on the stage. You have the bright lights shining on you, so you can hear that there's almost no applause for Darnetta, other than the guy who was running the meeting. And I was told by people there may be five people who would applaud the things that Darnetta Klingstell said.
And the same with Buford.
Buford, maybe it was 10. He got a couple more people clapping than Darnetta.
And I guess it's important to point that out, given the fact that this is an election year, and given the fact that they both have records to run on. Buford and Slay has a record to run on in terms of the things that he has voted for. He voted for this phone piece.
Yes.
He voted for this $142,000 for Can't Teach for America. He voted and he sat silent on the Montessori schools with the mice fighting the babies for food. He sat silent on the dirty schools at Roosevelt. So all of these things, it's his record too, right?
Yes. Yes. Mm. And while we're talking about this, there were two things in the public comment session. Mm-hmm. As you point, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and you had two groups of of wives and mothers mm-hmm. who gave up their Valentine's Day to go to the board mm-hmm. To let them know of problems in their school. And one group went there with data they'd collected from every school system in the county.
In the county?
Yes, in the county. Because they went there to say, do not make the school day any longer. Mm. You know, the school board says, we're going to make the day longer next year, and we're going to make it longer again the year after that. Because the school board has claimed that St. Louis is the shortest school day. So we had a group of mothers, some of them are teachers in different county districts, who went through data for every school district to find out, all right, how long is the school day? Mm-hmm. And what they found is that the city of St. Louis already has the longest school day.
Really?
All this claim about a short school day is just a lie. The city of St. Louis schools already have the longest school day. And, you know, a lot of the mothers were there complaining because of the hardship this already creates. Just to give you an example, there are a lot of elementary schools that get out at 4:10. The St. Louis Public Libraries, which we all also pay tax dollars to support, their children's programs start at 3:30.
Mm.
So children attending elementary school in St. Louis Public Schools cannot attend the children's programs in St. Louis Public Libraries.
Mm.
You know, and that kind of... Because
what time do the other schools get out?
Elsewhere?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A lot of other schools get out at 3.
Mm. So... Again, this comes back to the naivete, the incompetence of an inexperience of Craig Williams, and a willingness to lie to your face, because the first thing that you do before you make a decision like that is do your research.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to come to the community and say, you know what, our school days are shorter than everybody else's, you're paid $300,000 a year. You have time and you have an opportunity to check it out.
Right. Well, now, in all fairness, this decision, first to claim the shorter school day and the decision to lengthen it every year for 3 years, was made before Craig Williams came on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been here a long time now.
And he signed on to it.
He signed on to it. He has had the chance to say, you know, that was just wrong.
But again, that's the cost of having a $300,000 a year non-experienced superintendent, because he didn't come into the system with any experience at all of whether this works or whether it doesn't work, because he never worked for a school district as a superintendent before, long or short days. So which makes it even more imperative, more important, that he does his homework on decisions that are made like that. And clearly he hasn't.
Right. And I want to add that the other group of mothers that they're protesting, continued problems with the bus transportation,
mm-hmm.
Continued. Here we are 2/3 of the way through the school year, and they're still at 6 o'clock wondering where their children are.
6 o'clock at night?
6 o'clock at night. Why haven't our children been brought back home?
Jesus Christ. Anderson, you have a question about Roosevelt High School, a question or comment?
Yes, I just like to say I'm a custodian at Roosevelt High School, and it's hard to do our job under the new conditions and the new changes. But I really don't appreciate people coming on giving us so much negativity about the custodians and the hallways and how dirty they are. I invite you, anybody else, down to Roosevelt High School to see how clean the hallways are.
Well, I haven't been allowed in a public school in I don't know how long, so I don't know, Anderson, what your invitation would be able to get to me. But, Peter, tell us where the information is coming from.
Yeah, and I first want to say, none of this is criticism of the custodians.
Absolutely not.
We all recognize that the board is not, both with outsourcing and with what they're spending, is not putting the resources that are needed into maintaining the schools.
Do you think they are, Anderson?
I think a lot of changes have been made, and a lot of changes are still forthcoming.
Anderson, this has been, for how many years has this been? 3 years? Come on, Anderson. Do you think you're getting the resources that you got 5 years? Were you here 5 years ago?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Do you think that you have the same resources that you had 5 years ago that you have today?
No, we don't.
Okay. And it's harder to do your job better today, isn't it?
It is harder.
Okay, because you don't have the resources to do what you did 5 years ago, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
It is tougher, but we are We are getting the job done, not like we used to, but we are getting the job done. And to get a little bit of recognition for it instead of criticism for it.
Let me read you comments we got just Monday from a teacher at Roosevelt. All right, the teacher was responding to somebody called in last week's program who said that Roosevelt is clean. And this teacher said, "I dare her or him to use the staff bathroom on the ground floor before it became the alternative school's boys' restroom. The first floor is also nasty. Mice run rampant in the ground and first floors. Ask anyone. I've actually bent down to get water from the fountain and had tiny roaches come out. I lie not. At the staff meeting last week, the principal said that the superintendent said teachers need to clean up their rooms, move out old furniture and computers, clean out the closets, make sure things are swept, mopped, and the board washed once a week." And she says that was an exact quote from the principal, saying it's teachers' job to sweep and mop the floors of their classrooms, move all the furniture out, and sweep and mop the floors of their classrooms every week.
And Anderson, again, we've got to go because we're at the bottom of the hour and have to take a break. Understand this. This is not a criticism of any of the kind-hearted, hard-working, honorable custodians that were here before Roberti came and were here before Craig Williams got here. Our hats go off to those of you that are trying to do your job under trying times, but we have to be honest and direct about this. These people are getting paid millions of dollars, and you're not getting the resources that you need. And if teachers are being asked to clean their classrooms, clearly you all don't have the resources that you need.
Right.
Thanks for your call, okay?
Thank you, Liz.
All right, now. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number.
Good morning. It's me. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school. Second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eyes, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Eastbound 370 between Cape Springs and Elm. Look for an accident there. The left lane is blocked. There's about a quarter mile jam. Northbound 55 from 141 to Rivas Barracks. Normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Bowles 270. Looks good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road 279. Expect delays. Northbound 270 from Teson Ferry to 44. Expect delays there as well. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Bellevue. Look for no problems to report there. Southbound 170 from Ladue to the Galleria. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake to Mason. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from Spady to McKnight. No problems there. Westbound 5570 from Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic going on there. Northbound Route 3 from Poplar Street Bridge is on the move. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing looks good. Westbound 64 between Bowell and the 5570 split looks good as well. That is the look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Account Temps. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Variable cloudiness, cooler, shower likely this afternoon, a high around 55 this evening. Cloudy, chance for rain with a low around 45. Thursday, a couple of showers and thunderstorms are possible, high around 55. But that all changes Thursday night into Friday, because Friday, it's chilly and partly cloudy with only a high around 32.
Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds in 46. Lambert Fields is reporting clouds and 47. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. But up next is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA Director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters. And associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic Entertainment. Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars in prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Patty Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. Get more details at sbcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Carl Winston calling you from the Clear School, second grade, home 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for coming to our classroom. And thank you for the cute African necklace. Miss Liz, school is almost out. I'm going to spend the summer with my family. I hope you have another great time in Africa. Miss Liz, thank you for being you, and you're my hero. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. Everyone misses you. In room 209, Miss Liz, yesterday I received 2 trophies, one for perfect attendance for all the year, and one for high achievement. Have a fantastic summer. This is Carl Winston in room 209 for Dignity Reigns Supreme. Love you.
Love you, Carl.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, and this is, of course, the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, let's get to another call or comment here. Alfred.
Yes, hear everything I say.
Connection to the school.
Okay, it's coming. You got the NAACP on the television, want to know the policy of the police chasing. where are these ministers in the NAACP about the school system? I mean, you don't hear nothing about it.
Fair question, fair observation. And
yeah, you know, I mean, where are these ministers? All this stuff going on to all our kids, not one of our kids.
That's fact.
And they are silent. How come?
Thanks for your call and question.
Okay, bye now.
454-0400. And it's interesting, and I don't want to get off on the NAACP suddenly appearing on this police chase thing, but a lot of organizations are missing in action in the seriousness of this, of what's the constant problems and challenges of the school district.
Yeah, I think that's true. For the reason, you know, I don't know the reasons why they're missing.
Mm.
Probably each one has their own. But you're right. There are a lot of organizations that have been quiet. The school system has tumbled rapidly, losing accreditation points, buildings deteriorating.
And let's kind of run through some of those things, because I really think that it needs to be underscored at every opportunity. In the last 3 years, the extraordinary decline that this did, I think unprecedented decline. I submit to you that you couldn't give me a district in the United States that has plummeted the way that this district has plummeted in 3 years.
Well, and since this board took over.
Since Darnetta Clink's death.
3 years ago.
That's shameful.
Mm-hmm. Right, this district has lost 25 points needed for accreditation. We're at the level now where if the state were actually doing the accreditation review, we would be unaccredited.
Mm.
You know, St. Louis and Wellston would be the only unaccredited districts in the state. And 3 years ago, we were, you know, within 2 points of full accreditation. So that's a really a stunning fall.
Yes, it is. And that's since Darnetta Clingsdale Shamel has been in office.
Yes.
As
yes.
president of the board, not just as a member of the board, but as president
that's
of
right.
the board.
Yes. And right now, and I think this relates to the reorganization we're going to talk about
mm-hmm.
later, but it raises the question, you know, one of the things I've heard and I've seen going on now that'll further hurt, it'll take more points away from accreditation, is they are taking librarians away.
Taking librarians away?
The state requires that you have a certified librarian at every school. All right, for the full school day and for a certain amount of time before and after school. They have reduced librarians. There are librarians resigning because the school district is telling them they have to serve two schools. They have to shuttle back and forth between two schools, and there are librarians who are quitting rather than do that. And then the district is replacing them with library aides. So we are currently, because of this policy, we are now out of compliance with the state rules for staffing libraries and schools.
So then that's...
And we are getting further out of compliance because as librarians leave, they're replacing them with aides.
And again, I look at this budget that Darnetta Clingsdale and Jim Buford Slay voted for. We see millions, $300,000 handed out for a consulting firm to consult over board's benefits. $300,000 could have gone a long way to keeping some librarians and some libraries open, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, these are the decisions that are being made by this board. And the more points that, on the one hand, we have the points that are being taken away because of self-inflicted wounds being in engaged in by this district, and with Craig Williams and Darnetta Clingsdale Shamel as the president of the board. On the other hand, are we seeing any efforts that would bring us some points back to this district? Anything happening on that end?
That's very hard to say. The big effort we're seeing. Let's talk about the reorganization now, because that's the big effort we're seeing. The school district plans a press conference at 1 o'clock this afternoon at Metro to talk about reorganizing the whole district.
And if I could just say this, I think people need to compare this to the $1.6 billion that George Bush spent on PR in the last 4 years, because this district, if we compared apples to apples, has spent about that much on PR, because this feels like another, we're fixing to be hit with another PR campaign.
Yeah, and, but we definitely are. We definitely are. So this is a strategic plan that was presented to the board last night.
Okay, and hold that thought because we have to take a break. So when we come back, we will talk about this strategic plan engaged in by a man that's never been a superintendent anywhere in the United States of America and is getting $300,000 a year.
Please. You from a clean school. Second grade from 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for buying me a pretty necklace in Africa. Every time I wear the pretty necklace, I think about you. When I grow up, I would like to be just like you. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. You are a very beautiful lady, and you are special to me. I love you so much, Miss Liz. Yesterday, I received a trophy for this is a trophy. This is Kayla Thompson from 209, where dignity reigns supreme. From all the children in room 209, have a great summer. We love you.
And Miss Liz, this is Mrs. Smith from room 209.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for giving my children this beautiful opportunity and educational experience once in a lifetime. I have 14 more children waiting on me, so I have to run. But love you.
Love
See you this summer.
See you this summer.
All right,
I'm so excited. Give everybody a hug and a kiss
sure
from me.
Will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Sydney. The Public Broadcasting Service of Australia says it has come into possession of new unseen pictures that depict even worse abuse of prisoners by American soldiers at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. These photos are at the heart of a current legal battle going on here in the United States to prevent them from being published or aired by American media. A spokesman for the Australia Special Broadcasting Service says these new pictures were taken at the same time the ones that were leaked last year were. But these show new and more graphic episodes of torture, sexual humiliation, and even homicide. These are so bad that they indicate the torture was even worse than was talked about last year. The ACLU says it got access to the pictures through the Freedom of Information Act, but the federal government is fighting that. The Australian broadcaster says those pictures are to be aired today. And Dateline Washington. Here's a story that should make your blood boil. The New York Times is reporting that the federal government plans to allow big oil companies to get away with not paying royalties on oil and gas extracted from federal land over the next 5 years. This is part of some legislation that dates back to 1986 that allows it to happen in order to promote an increase in expensive high-risk drilling and exploration. Estimates are that the oil companies will take out $65 billion worth of oil from those lands, and the government will lose out on at least $7 billion worth of royalties. This at a time when the federal deficit is at an all-time high. This could only be the beginning of a huge loss of oil royalty money also. Kerr McGee has filed a court challenge on the limitations of royalty relief for its drilling operations in the Gulf of Mexico. This is seen as a test case, and if that company wins, the federal government could lose out on nearly $30 billion in royalties over the next 5 years. Representative Richard Pombo from California is chairman of the House Resources Committee, and he said it's outrageous that big oil needs royalty relief when it's now selling for $70 a barrel. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by Alliance Financial Group, 381-8967.
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967. 381-8967. 89.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, big screen television sets. They have it all and the best customer service in town. I'm telling you, Jerome Williams will walk you through the store, show you the items, give you the best customer service ever in the city of St. Louis. So you need to get your shop on, and you need to get it on at the Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right. You don't have to drive out to the mall. It's right here in your neighborhood, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Sears. 3425 Union, Jerome Williams. I'm Liz Brown. Get over there and get your shop on and tell them I told you to.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series. On Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park, explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott, performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017 or go to www.mohistory.org.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dixon. Call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back. We're talking about the multi-thousand-dollar, $10,000, maybe million-dollar PR campaign that's going on with the St. Louis Public Schools. Tell us about this press conference today.
In the press conference, talk about this reorganization of schools throughout the district. Yeah. And most of it, they're calling a new strategic plan, and they've built
What's new about it?
Very little. Most of it is really just putting together things that have been announced over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There is one thing that is new, and that is that they will have two single-sex high schools. So Meta P, Washington, which is currently just for pregnant girls, will be for all girls. It'll be an all-girls high school, and you don't have to be pregnant to be there. And Lovertshire Middle School will be turned into an all-boys high school.
Well, okay, what do any of the changes, that I mean, all-girls school, that's fine. All-boys school, that's fine. That's nothing new under the sun. That's fine. What does this do? What is the plan? What is this? What are the specifics within this plan that are going to address the 25-point drop in accreditation points by this superintendent? There's never been one anyplace else in the United States.
I'm not aware of any, and that's one of my concerns about this plan. And we have four middle schools that are going to become small high schools, and that was previously announced. You have middle schools that are going to become junior high schools. Four of them will become junior high schools,
that's
7 through 9.
Previously announced.
You have some elementary schools previously announced going to be K-8. Well, a couple of those are going to stop at K-6.
Okay.
No big deal on a lot of those. You have some schools, as I mentioned, the comprehensive high schools, as previously announced, are going to be just 10th through 12th grade, and there will be 9th through 8th centers for each of those.
And we've eliminated Pruitt as a junior high ROTC in 7th through 12th.
Right. Cleveland is going to become 7th grade through 12th grade. Pruitt will become the alternative high school.
So, again.
But we're seeing shifting of kids among schools. But no information has been released, at least, as to how we're addressing the specific needs to obtain accreditation, how we're addressing what needs to be done inside the schools. It's one thing to shift students between schools, but that doesn't address what's going on in the schools, what's going on with maintaining the schools, what's going on with the curriculum,
the teachers,
what's going on with the counseling that's needed,
what's going
on with the building maintenance,
mm-hmm.
the librarians,
the food, the discipline.
Absolutely.
And so
there's a whole raft of things that are the important things in education, more than which building we're sending someone to.
And again, without any when these plans were announced previously, there was no connection to how this is going to address the 25-point drop in accreditation since Darnetta Klingsfeld-Shamel has been president of the school board. There's been no connection.
No, none at all.
So right now we're going to have another press conference with another non-statement of how this is going to deal with a 25-point drop.
Right.
And the fact that if the state were to come in today and evaluate our school district, it would be unaccredited. And I submit to you, it would be unaccredited worse than Wellston was. We would have fewer points than Wellston had when they lost their accreditation.
Yeah. I don't know how many points Wellston had. You might be right.
I guess the questions that should be asked and what people should be looking at is when Craig Williams comes with another one of these press conferences that he's famous for, that he sings and he dances and he hoots and he hollers and he gets the church all riled up, but doesn't deliver a sermon. And that doesn't give you any of the things that you really need. There's plenty of smoke, there's plenty of mirrors, but where are the specifics?
People need to be asking exactly where the specifics is. Fine, my child's going to a different school, but what's it going to be taught? How many teachers are we going to have? How large are the classrooms going to be? Is it going to be kept clean? Is the roof going to leak? Are we going to have good food?
Is there going to be heat in the building?
Is there going to be heat in the building? Exactly.
So none of these things are being addressed?
There hasn't been any information on them released. It's just been how we're moving schools around.
And the next school board meeting is when?
The next school board meeting will be in March. The first Tuesday in March is the administrative meeting, and the second Tuesday in March is the school board meeting.
And the next places where people can hear the come and see the school board candidates?
I don't know. I don't have that in front of me. Now, there's a parent assembly meeting this Thursday. A lot of ward meetings are having meetings this
mm-hmm.
Thursday.
Okay.
And there is a discussion tonight on the curriculum,
mm-hmm.
Kind of alternatives to scripted curriculum, and that's at Washington University, room 400 of the Lab Sciences building.
And what time?
At 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock tonight. Peter Downs, thank you so much, and we will see you next week.
I'll see you then.
All right, folks, I'll be back to take your calls, your questions, your comments when we get back in the next hour. I'm Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Stay with me.
Tonight, bad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Revolution! Revolution! another thing that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. That's a recording of Saddam Hussein. It was made 10 years ago when the former Iraqi leader was still in power. And on the tape, he can be heard saying that he believes the U.S. will be attacked by terrorists, that the attack could be either biological or nuclear, and he also says that Iraq would not be responsible for it. More on this ABC News exclusive from Chief Investigator Brian Ross.
Among the many 12 hours of tapes, it's clear that Saddam is not always the tyrant we've seen in public. He can be a calming factor in some of these meetings. Others are more excited than he. He asks them to be calm, try to find a way to negotiate. Let's not go to war with America, he says.
You can hear more of the tape on ABC's World News tonight. Mr. Vice President, say something.
I believe the Vice President should hold a press conference, talk about the incident in Texas and the other things he hasn't visited the press about since his last press conference in 2002.
Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid, who is among a group from his own party and a growing number of Republicans, who say that Dick Cheney needs to make a public statement about his accidental shooting of a friend on a hunting trip. ABC News chief White House, Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos says the clock is ticking on this one.
It's late night jokes, number one. Two, you see Democrats using it as a metaphor for all kinds of other problems in the administration. Competence, the gang that couldn't shoot straight. You see them raising questions of the arrogance of power and the credibility and secrecy of the White House.
The man Cheney hit is in the intensive care unit again. He had a heart attack yesterday. A House Republican committee is about to release a report on how the government handled Hurricane Katrina. The report is said to ask a lot of questions, and it places blame from the White House on down. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff will be spending a lot of time with the Senate and the House in the coming days and weeks. Two committees want to talk to him, both about the way the government responded to the hurricane. This is ABC News.
I promise a new coat of paint.
Stain Master Carpet on every floor.
Guys, enough campaigning.
This President's Day weekend, coming to Lowe's for great values on the best brand names. Now through Monday, purchase any 1 gallon of Olympic Premium Interior Paint and get a $5 mail-in rebate, or 5 gallons and get $20 back. Also get 20% off all special order Stain Master Carpet. Discount does not apply to in-stock carpet. Between now and the 20th, use your Lowe's consumer credit card on any purchase of $2.99 or more and ask for special financing for 12 months. See store for details.
Good values are important.
Hey, no debate there.
Another way Lowe's is improving home improvement.
Larry King here. You know I've been taking Ester C for years. Did you know that now I take Ester E too? This is a vitamin E with a difference. Only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body's ready to use it. It's a unique form of all-natural E captured for the first time in a supplement. Do what I do. Take Ester E. Advanced protection. Ester protection. Look for Advanced Protection Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
It's not just a job, it's an adventure, and now it will be a much more comfortable one. ABC's Jim Hickey tells us about the new Army boot camp.
I'll fight to keep my country free!
I'll fight to keep my country free!
It is woven into the American fabric from movies like Full Metal Jacket.
You are pukes! You are the lowest form of life on Earth!
To TV commercials.
You will wake up! Make me breakfast!
Drill sergeants and boot camp, shocking men and women into becoming soldiers as much as training them. That's changing. The Wall Street Journal reports drill sergeants have been ordered to be nicer, to yell less, and mentor more. New recruits get more sleep and more downtime. The reported result? Fewer washouts from boot camp. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
She gave it a good try, but U.S. skier Lindsay Kildow is still too banged up after that bad fall she took earlier this week to medal today in the women's downhill. A U.S. man took the gold in the men's alpine combined, but it wasn't Bodie Miller. Teammate Ted Ligety finished first. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
WGNU News. This update is brought to you by Mr. Clean Premium Wiper Blades. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
In the news, a 13-year-old girl will remain in state custody after pleading guilty in the death of her younger sister. The teen, who was 12 years old at the time of the killing, pleaded guilty yesterday to a juvenile charge of involuntary manslaughter. Authorities say the girl choked her sister to death during an argument in December of 2004. The teen will be placed in a state residential facility where she could stay until she turns 18. In other news, the St. Louis County Council is considering a request from the County Election Board to raise the pay of election judges. County Councilman Kurt Odenwald says it has been 7 years since the compensation for election judges was increased.
Election workers work, you know, 14 to 15 hour days, and there isn't any amount that I think we could really pay them that would truly compensate them for the value. Right now they're paid anywhere from $64 to $100 a day for their work.
Odenwald says the county wants to recognize the value of election workers by trying to find the money to increase their pay. St. Louis County Council has asked County Executive Charlie Dooley's office to provide figures on what impact the request would have on the budget. In St. Charles, police are continuing to warn the public about a woman accused of exposing her boyfriend to HIV. And meanwhile, the St. Charles Department of Health is urging the public to practice safe sex. Nancy Duncan, a spokesperson for the department, says a condom is the only way to help prevent the spread of sexually transmitted disease outside of a monogamous relationship. 26-year-old Angela Dawn Harris is charged with recklessly risking infection of another with HIV for allegedly having unprotected sex with her boyfriend. Police believe there are more victims and ask anyone who has had sexual contact with Harris to call the St. Charles Police Detective Bureau. And finally, Planned Parenthood says Missouri Governor Matt Blunt needs to get his facts straight. The group yesterday spoke out against what they say are inaccurate facts on a state website. Dr. L. Lewis Wall, a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Washington University, says the governor is confusing RU486 with Plan B, also known as the morning after pill. Wall says Plan B is like an extra strong dose of birth control and is meant to prevent pregnancy, while RU486 is not being used as an emergency contraceptive. The website that Planned Parenthood says is inaccurate reads, quote, "Recently, pharmacies have taken action against pharmacists who refuse to fill prescriptions for RU486 or the so-called morning after pill," end quote. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Mr. Clean Premium Wiper Blades. Replace your windshield wipers before the next winter storm hits with Mr. Clean Premium Wiper Blades. Get the clean you've trusted for more than 40 years. Now in a wiper blade, try Mr. Clean Wiper Blades today. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 370 at Cave Springs, Truman Road in Elm, there's an accident that's been cleared, but there may be some brief delays. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Bellevue, look for an accident that's been cleared, but the traffic is still jamming back to the Science Center. Northbound 67 at 44, look for an accident there. Left lane is blocked with about a 4 mile backup. Northbound 55 between 141 and Rivas Barracks, normal traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79, expect delays. Northbound 270 from Teson Ferry to 44, expect delays there as well. Westbound 270 between the Canal Bridge and Chain of Rocks Bridge, look for an accident reportedly on the shoulder. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Bellevue, look for no problems. Southbound 170 from Ladue to the Galleria, no problems there. Eastbound 40 is slow from Timberlake all the way into Mason Road. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Lindbergh, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB is slow. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic there. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleves Landing, slight delays, as well as westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle through February. Purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Fairville cloudiness. Cooler, chance for shower likely this afternoon, a high around 55 this evening, mostly cloudy. A little bit of rain with a low around 45. Thursday, a couple of showers and thunderstorms possible, high around 55. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain with a low around 25. Then on Friday, chilly and partly cloudy with a high only around freezing. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Fields is reporting 46, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Dick Cheney is saying that he may make a statement on Friday. And as yet, we can't even write down the word apology. That's how tough these guys are. They won't even allow their fingers to tap out. Won't even let somebody else's fingers tap out the word apology. I've done nothing wrong. These are mystifying times that we live in, folks. Los Angeles. A search is underway for the driver of a vehicle who believed to have carried the dummy bomb that fell on the Foothill Freeway on Monday. The freeway was shut down in both directions on Polk and Yarnell Street. The device
apparently fell from a truck. It's a 500-pound cylinder, and it's a bomb that was a Rockeye cluster bomb. Rockeye cluster bomb. Ain't that some stuff? And the military is taking responsibility for it. Yeah, the pragmatic side of my mind. The pragmatic side of my mind says, you know what? This feels like another one of those governmental things that's used to terrify people, to keep people on edge, to keep people accepting of a government spying on them. I don't know. How does a 500-pound bomb fall off your truck and you not know it? And how is it that bombs are going through a state, a city, and with a $1 trillion Homeland Security Department, you don't know who was driving the truck with bombs on it and how to get a hold of them? We have no Homeland Security. We spend $1 trillion on Homeland Security, and we have a vice president that shoots 78-year-old men in the face. How secure is your home? You know, how secure are we? Bombs falling out. It was a dummy bomb. But it sure had the impact of a bomb that had its guts in it, doesn't it? They still shut the highway down. People were still terrified, weren't they? These are extraordinary times, a state of constant fear. But it's calculated and orchestrated fear that you're in. There were no weapons of mass destruction, but they sure scared the crap out of you about it, didn't they? Saddam Hussein wasn't trying to get you, but they sure made you scared like he was. Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, but I bet you most Americans out there that have heard about Iran think that they do. These are amazing times. And this is just a heads up for those of you who love Google, as I do. Here's some Google bad news. And you need to have this in your mental Rolodex and tell all of your friends. Check it out. And what's interesting enough is I found this information on a website called Global News Matrix. Awesome website. Good stuff on there. And as soon as I got this information off of them, they were hacked closed. They're not up right now. They are not up. And I just got this late last night off of their website. Google is offering a desktop search. Okay, you know how Google goes out on the internet and you type in a word, Liz Brown, for example. Say Homer Simpson spends his whole day Googling his name. But you can go out there and you can Google things and find them on the internet. Well, Google is offering this new service where they do a desktop search. So you can Google a file. It's supposedly quicker than going to your Find box in your whatever server you have. You download this Google desktop search, and then all you have to do is type in a word, and it'll pop up your file, your draft, or your graft, or your PDA document. Sounds convenient, doesn't it? Well, consider this. If a consumer chooses to use it, the new, quote-unquote, search across computers feature will store copies of your Word documents, your PDFs, your spreadsheets, and any other text-based document. They will now be stored on Google's own servers. What does that mean? That they could search your stuff. What does that mean? Suppose the FBI wanted to find out what was on your computer. Google has it all now. So they go to Google, they can get your stuff. because Google would have it. This is shocking. This is problematic. So before you all think about the convenience, because I know if you're like me, you're hooked on the convenience of Google. You wondered how you ever did anything before Google. Don't let that fascination or that appreciation of what Google offers you make you blind, dumb, and stupid. Nobody besides you should have a database of all of the stuff on your computer. Your tax returns, your checking information. Google would have that if you engaged in this new feature of theirs. They'll have your love letters. They'll have your business records. They'll have your medical files. Anything that you put on your computer would now be in their database. The government could come in and demand the personal files with a subpoena. Now, if the stuff was in your house, they would have to have a warrant to come get it. And check this out, Google would be under no obligation to tell you that they came and got your stuff. Don't do it. Privacy isn't about the fact that you have illegal stuff on your computer. That's not what privacy is about. Privacy is about just that. Nobody has a right to your information unless you decide to give it to them. That's what privacy is. So heads up on the Google thing. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do not take advantage of this new Google desktop. Google copies your hard drive. Your good government smiles in anticipation. It won't have to be that hard for us to get your stuff anyway. Your social security numbers, all of that stuff. All of your personal information is now stored on somebody's server as opposed to your own hard drive. You could take your hard drive out, carry it with you everywhere so that you know that nobody has access to your social security number, your daughter's social security number, all your information. Now Google would have it and give it to anybody who asks for it. Don't do it. I love Google as much as the next person. You don't have to do that. You do not have to do that. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm outstanding.
Look, this is with the situation with the brother that got beat up by the police. This is the time for St. Louis to really stand up. For real. You know, I was watching in the late 80s when the Al Sharpton and them up in New York, when Yusef Hawkins was killed, when Tawana Brawley, they had thousands of people that came out. And we had just, 30 people? You know, I'm not knocking St. Louis like that, but it's like 30 people.
Tawana Brawley was killed, right?
No, Tawana Brawley, she was raped by some white policemen, mm-hmm. Believe it or not.
Well, I think that there's a danger of mischaracterizing the things that have happened as a result of this last police beating. What has happened is that there has been an organizational coalition that has never happened, that hasn't happened in my memory. I'm not from St. Louis, but we have seen people that have actually come together that have put together a plan and that are actually working on this plan about coming out of this police brutality. We have the organization of people that have the police Citizens Against Police Crimes and Repression. We have a civilian review board bill that is in the Board of Aldermen right now. All of these things have happened as a result of the work of people, some people over 20 years, some people recently, but in the most recent past, there are people that have come together on this issue of this beating that have never come together before. So, yes, there's some really powerful things that have happened out of this. Have thousands of people turned out in the street? No, but there hasn't been a call for thousands of people to turn out in the street either.
Well, let me say this, sister. You know, the city of St. Louis had never, ever had a race riot.
I'm well aware of that.
You know, never. You know, of course, they had the Jefferson Bank protest, and they had, you know, with William Clay Sr.,
I'm well aware of that. There has been no rebellion. Everybody else rebelled when Martin Luther King was murdered. Cities all over this country, absolutely. There's never been a rebellion in the city of St. Louis, absolutely.
But, you know, we had many police brutality cases, and nothing, this city never erupted. I mean, even with the Rodney King thing, when every other city went...
Agreed. Absolutely. It's been a long time.
And I was down in Cochran, where I grew up at, down in Cochran, when that when the Rodney King thing went off. And I actually tried to get the brothers to ride. I ain't gonna lie. I did. I said, let's do something. Let's just march. And then, you know, they was just sitting there drinking their 40 ounces and smoking their blunts.
All right. Thank you, Aleem. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Something happened yesterday that really irritated me. And it kind of speaks to the frustration that was expressed by our last caller about a lack of willingness to fight that can be seen on occasion. But if you move it to a national level, and you look at the Democrats. This thing just really, really irritated the heck out of me yesterday. It truly did. Paul Hackett. I like this guy. I really, really, really liked this guy. He's an Iraq veteran. He tails it like he sees it. This is a man who... said to the Republican Party in Ohio. He said that the Republican Party had been hijacked by religious extremists who, he said, aren't a whole lot different than Osama bin Laden. He said that. Paul Hackett said that. He said the Republican Party has been hijacked by extremists, religious extremists that aren't a whole lot different than Osama bin Laden. The Republican Party ain't this a blip. Republican Party demanded an apology. Oh, they want an apology for that, right? But the Vice President of the United States shoots a 78-year-old man in the face. You ain't demanding an apology for him for that. I get it. So the Republican Party wanted an apology from Paul Hackett, who said that the Republican Party has been hijacked by religious extremists that aren't a whole lot different than Osama bin Laden. You know what Paul Hackett said? And this is Paul Hackett, who was running for the United States Senate in the state of Ohio as a Democrat. You know what he said? I said it, I meant it, and I stand behind it. What? A Democrat said that? He said, I said it, I meant it, and I stand behind it. Now what? You gotta love it. You gotta love a person. You gotta love a man who says what he means, says the truth, and ain't scared of the truth. Well, He also said this war is illegal. He also said, as an Iraq war veteran, this war is immoral. He also said that his country has betrayed him by sending our country into this war in Iraq. He said it, he stood behind it, and he meant it. Okay, he said those things. He's running for the United States, and he almost won the congressional race. The Democrats got behind him and said, please run for the United States Senate in Ohio. Please run for the United States Senate in Ohio. And then they said, no, could you step down, please, because we have somebody else we want to run. You know what Paul Hackett said? He said, I have been betrayed twice. First, my government misused and mismanaged the military in Iraq, and now my own party is afraid to support candidates like me. Shame on the Democratic Party. Shame on them. This is why folks can't stand you. This is why folks are so disappointed in you. Chuck Schumer is the person who was calling the people that were giving money to Hackett, saying that we're not behind him. We want you to support this other guy by the name of Brown. Chuck Schumer doesn't want anybody like Paul Hackett up in the halls of the United States Senate, making him look like a fool, making him look like a punk, because that's what Paul Hackett would make all of these senators look like. He would make them look like the cowards that they are. So for Chuck Schumer, it was a win-win situation with his pro-war self. My name is Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. We're taking a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. I'll be right back at you after this. Stay with me.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that ladder of success.
Good morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Bellevue. Look for an accident that's been cleared. Traffic still jammed at the Science Center. Northbound 170 at airport. Look for an accident reported on the ramp there. Northbound 55 from Richardson and Union. Expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravelway to 44 is easing this hour. Westbound 270 between the Canal Bridge and Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for that accident to have been cleared. There may still be some delays. Eastbound 70 from Jennings Station all the way to Shreve looks good. Southbound 170 from Ladue all the way into Galleria Parkway is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Hanley. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. It is slow this hour. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for that congestion has been cleared. Westbound Kingbridge at Laclede's Landing. There's still slight delays this hour. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split looks good. Timberlake Manor at South Outer 40. Those traffic lights are not working. They are on red flash. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Variable cloudiness, cooler chance of showers this afternoon, high around 55. This evening mostly cloudy, a little rain with a low around 45. For Thursday, chance of showers, otherwise the high will be around 55. Thursday evening, things change. Mostly cloudy, chance of rain. The low will be around 25. And then on Friday, chilly and partly cloudy, with a high expected around freezing. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 46, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA Director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters, and associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown.
Target aircraft, 7 o'clock high, verify IFF response. Placing target at center range rate. IFF response unknown. Hostile engaged.
You're listening to one of the most advanced and highly mobile surface-to-air weapon systems utilized by the U.S. Army. It goes by the name of Staff Sergeant Patrick Dolan, Crew Chief of the Avenger Air Defense System, and an Army of One.
For more information, call Sergeant First Class Mural at 314-487-7771. Paid for by the U.S. Army. GoArmy.com.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Join the members of the 7th Police District Community Partnership for lunch as we honor the outstanding efforts of some of St. Louis' finest, the police officers of the 7th District. Blueberry Hill owner Joe Edwards will be the featured speaker, with KEZK's Ed Goodman as the MC.
This is Captain Jim Moran of the 7th District. Show your support by having lunch with us at the pageant on Wednesday, February 22nd at noon.
A limited number of tickets are still available for this event. Don't miss out. For more information or to purchase tickets, call Officer Kim at 444-0047. 314-444-0047. Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Better wait a minute. You better hold the phone. Don't mind your manners. Better change your tone. Don't you threaten me, son. You gotta let him go. We wanna do things now.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Robin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
That's wonderful. My mom's crazy about you. I was just calling because you said something interesting about the Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was on the computer. I got some files. I'm a minister and I do a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on there the other day and I just happened to be fooling around with Google and it pops up all my files.
What?
Every one of the things, my little sermonists that I've written, pop, they're open to anybody. So that means somebody can copy them, right?
Wait a minute. When you say it pop, what do you mean it popped up?
Okay, I was searching Google. I was doing some studying about the Holy Spirit. So I put in Holy Spirit. And it pops up because I've used that in some of my, the things that I've wrote. The word Holy Spirit. So up pops all my files.
Do you think that you might have inadvertently downloaded the Google component of desktop search?
No, you know what? It's my sister's computer, and I use her computer a lot. She has Google desktop on her on the screen.
Okay.
She has a toolbar. Yeah.
She has the Google toolbar, or she has a Google desktop search.
I don't know if it's desktop search. All I remember was this desktop Google I saw on the screen. But when I went through for going on the internet and I put in www.google.com, so that pops up. So I put in, you know, where it says search, I put in Holy Spirit. And when I pushed search, then this is when I've realized the piece of my, I saw this looks familiar. Somebody wrote the same thing I did. And I, you know, went into it and it was mine.
Now, on the you were on your sister's computer.
Uh-huh.
Does you, are any of your files on your sister's computer?
Yes, they are.
I'm wondering if that she's enabled the desktop search piece of it. That's what I'm wondering.
I think she must have, because after listening to you, I found that most interesting because I didn't understand it when it happened to me. And when you said that, I said, well, that's what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
now all of her stuff is in some Google database someplace, and your stuff too.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I thank you so much.
Right.
You're a very integral part of this community, and you're much needed, so keep up the good work.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Bob.
Liz, I'm going to hold you 1 second. Just heard on the news, it's set for Friday at 12 o'clock, Cheney's forgiveness speech.
And you know what? Let's get this straight.
Yes, ma'am.
A week, almost a week later, after extraordinary pressure, he's going to make a statement. What are you going to say at that time?
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's when they said it. I said, wait a minute. What can he say now? And it's because everybody's been heckling him about it.
That's right.
He's making some other speech, so he's going to include that. And I bet you, Liz, it's going to be just like the George Bush speech when he made that State of the Union, when he included Katrina just a little second. You know, we gave so much money.
That's
and then
right.
It moved on. So we're going to see what's going to happen, Liz.
All right, Bob.
Thanks
for your call. Rick, good morning.
How you doing today?
I'm outstanding.
Hey, I haven't listened for a couple of days, so I don't know if you guys have covered this or not, but I was wondering, if this Wellington guy dies, could Dick Cheney be prosecuted for murder?
Well, I we've talked a little bit about this. We've talked about it from the perspective of could there be manslaughter charges brought against Dick Cheney? Because it wouldn't be unless there's additional evidence out there that he stalked this man and killed him for specifically shot him and killed him. A police department looks at a number of things, should look at a number of things, and does on occasion look at a number of things when making a decision on whether or not to bring manslaughter charges against someone. They look at the behavior of the individual that they are considering pursuing the charges against. Dick Cheney has not been forthright about this. He has not talked about this. When the police came to his home to talk to him, him about this, he gave them Secret Service people. He has not apologized for this. So what that does is raises suspicions in the mind of a police department, because they can bring charges against anybody for anything. And if a normal person, if a person outside of the office of the vice president had done something like this, the police department would at least consider bringing manslaughter charges against you simply because of your behavior acting like you've done something wrong. And so will charges be brought against Cheney? Well, Cheney was able to keep himself from answering any questions by the police. What do you think?
I think he's getting preferential treatment, of course,
absolutely,
because of who he is and his position and all that.
Absolutely. And what do you think of what do you think about the guilt or the innocence of an individual who refused to talk to the police, never said he did this until after somebody else said he did it, and has said that he has done nothing wrong? What do you think about the guilt or the innocence of that person?
Oh, well, I think it's cause of guilt.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Yes.
454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Boot Hill Man, good morning.
Hello, Liz. When I made that call yesterday, I told you that 90 trying to say is 90 yards. You know, 90 yards shotgun won't reach that bullet. If it did, it would be.
It wouldn't be embedded as deeply as it was.
Yes, and I forgot yesterday when I was talking to you. Now, you know, he used a plane, our United States plane, going down the taxpayer's plane to go down there. It's about $40,000, plus you got the security around you.
And
he's down there with people he's lobbying with. You know, I mean, the people that lobby, that contracts overseas. So there's a lot ain't come out on this yet.
Yes, it has.
And that's what I was telling you about, people not stupid.
All right, now.
Yeah, and you have a good day.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Max.
Yes, good morning.
Well, I'd like to know a number of things. First of all, I wish someone, and I don't expect anyone in our poodle press to do this, so it would be up to a blogger or somebody like that. What would happen to a regular person down in that jurisdiction where this accident took place? A regular person involved in a hunting accident with a firearm, not reporting it for 24 hours. That's one thing I'd like to know. Then I would like someone to do a search of cases in that jurisdiction in the past where accidents have happened. How long has it taken for them to be reported? And if they haven't been reported, what might have happened in those situations?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be interesting?
Oh, of course it would be.
Okay,
of
well, I'm afraid I'm not an editor to assign anybody to do that.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Get up. Get to me.
Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Milan. A prominent member of the Italian government says he plans to wear a T-shirt today that has one of the controversial cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad on it. Reforms Minister Roberto Calderoli says he plans to make a statement that there is no point in trying to have a dialogue with Muslim extremists. He says he's been requested not to wear it by Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, but he intends to go ahead anyhow because, quote, it's time to put an end to the tale that we need to have a dialogue with these people, unquote. Calderoli is a leader of the Northern League Party, which has a staunch anti-immigration position. And Dateline New Orleans. A story in next week's edition of Newsweek says that a New Orleans congressman by the name of Richard Baker introduced legislation in the House that would have given property owners in the neighborhoods destroyed by Hurricane Katrina grants totaling 60% of the value of their homes. That could have been enough to help homeowners rebuild or relocate. It was on track to be passed before Christmas until it came under attack by Donald Powell. He's the man appointed by President Bush to coordinate rebuilding efforts along the Gulf Coast. Powell said the measure was too bureaucratic and too wasteful. But the government spent $85 billion in no-bid contracts to favorite corporations to get a large slice of the rebuilding pie. Baker says he and the people of New Orleans have been betrayed by the Bush administration, which has all but outright said that New Orleans should not be rebuilt in low-lying areas that were flooded out, even if the levees are strengthened. A New Orleans developer has admitted that it is mostly a racial issue because most of the people displaced from those areas were black, which translates into Democrat. If New Orleans can be gentrified, so to speak, chances are a whiter population would mean Louisiana would become a Republican state. White House officials have denied such a conspiracy theory, but they have said there is no good reason to recreate failing schools and bad public housing efforts. Newsweek further says that in light of the abrasive testimony last week by former FEMA Director Michael Brown, the White House is about to release its own study of the hurricane response, which will indicate failures at all levels of the federal government. This is your wake-up call Global News Update, brought to you by Alliance Financial Group, 381-8 8967.
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967. 381-8967.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? A washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, a stove, a big screen television, a DVD player. How about a VCR-DVD combo? That and so much more. Tires, tools, everything that you need. And everything that a Sears at the mall has, only it's better because it's right around the corner from your house. It's a full-service, customer service extraordinaire Sears right there at 3425 Union, corner of Union and Natural Bridge. Jerome Williams is the owner, and I'm telling you, you will never be treated like this in any other store that you go into. So get on down to Sears, get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series. On Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park, explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott. Performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017 or go to www.mohistory.org.
Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
For the mayor. For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships. For the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip. For the millions who jumped overboard. For the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, pick the cotton, whose names have been forgotten.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. My website is Liz Brown, L-I-Z-Z. Brown.com. My show is archived every day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Get to me. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I would like to say it's really embarrassing for a vice president to be on stage with this shooting incident. One problem I have with this, if I go out to Forest Park and fish without a license, the conservation people would issue me a citation. They did not issue that man a citation. They gave him a warning. The other thing that is mind-boggling, he was not the only person out there. He and the guy that he shot, there were a total of about 20 other hunters. There's something fishy about this. And as one gentleman alluded to, You can't fool people all the time. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
All right.
Have a blessed day.
Take care of yourself, Bob. 454-0400 is my phone number. Scoot.
Yeah. This thing with Paul Hackett is really annoying. I mean, you know, yeah, the Democrats seem cowardly, backboneless, spineless, and, you know.
Well, the fact of the matter is that Karl Rove is giggling like a crazy man over the fact that they pushed Paul Hackett out of this race.
Yeah, he's a war veteran, and
he calls him like he sees him.
Yeah,
he was a great candidate. I loved him. I really did. I thought he is exactly what this party needed, and what the Democratic Party. He almost did out of nowhere.
Republican district.
That's right. That's right. It's
Democrats. I mean, you know, I feel like we don't have a choice. I mean, I have to vote for the Democrats, but they are spineless, cowardly. And all that stuff, you know.
And here's the other thing, Scott. The fact of the matter is that we have to look at the ramifications of having lily-livered, weak-wrist Democrats up there. What did they do with Alito? We've seen what they do. So the guy that they're pushing in, Brown, is going to be just like Schumer and them. It's going to be he's going to be just as weak. So we have no there is no opposition party. And you can see how that played itself out. Senator Byrd said, I think that Alito is an honorable man. What, are you crazy?
Well, the Democrats, they need to stop apologizing.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But they don't have the backbone to do that.
And I agree with what he said about the Republicans being like the Taliban almost.
Well, what he said, and let's be specific about what he said. Paul Hackett said that the Republican Party had been hijacked by religious extremists who aren't a whole lot different than Osama bin Laden. When the Republicans called for an apology, Hackett said, "I said it, I meant it, I stand behind it."
Now, see, that's what they need.
That's exactly right.
And they get rid of what they need, man.
It's orchestrated. It's orchestrated because Paul Hackett's presence in the United States Senate, would make Schumer, would make Hillary Clinton, would make Barack Obama look bad because he's standing up for his convictions and standing up for what is right. So it was in their interest to get rid of him because he was shaming them. Got to roll. Thanks, Scott.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Tony.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, this Cheney shooting, I know everybody's calling it an accident, but, you know, here's my take on this. You know, when you're shooting, you know, for birds in flight, you know, they're going to be flushed out and they're in flight, you pretty much stand with your gun and at the side, you know, getting ready to raise it to your shoulder to watch the bird go up and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
How's a guy standing 30 yards in front of you? And he takes on, you know, I mean, you're shooting at eye level, level, and hit him in the face in the upper part of his body and his torso.
That's right.
That seemed to be an intended shooting to me.
Or you were drunk.
I was going to say that too. Either you were drunk, because, I mean, somebody's standing 30 yards in front of you, if you got your gun at the ready, you're going to see them.
Yes, you will.
And that was almost a point-blank shot. It's not like you, fanned in a direction and hit the guy accidentally.
It's kind of like fishing in at a catfish farm. You know, that's not fishing. You're just scooping fish out of the thing. Unless the birds were so drugged that they had to practically throw them in the air to get them in the air. Because this was remember, they drove up to this hunt. They drove up in their cars. They got out of their cars. These were not wild animals. These were farm-fed quail that they practically had to throw up in the air.
Yeah, that sound like a hit to me.
Or drunk.
Yeah, one of the two.
And why did Dick Cheney? Why couldn't he come to the door to talk to the cops? Maybe his speech was slurred.
Yeah, like George Bush crawling around the floor.
Or you know, choking on pretzels.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Lois.
Hi. Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
First of all, I want to thank you for my present that I won.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ago.
You're welcome.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad.
I know we don't have very much time. I thought maybe I need to maybe call back. I had wanted to talk about a program on PBS that came on Sunday. I don't know if you saw it or not. It's on the American Experience, Reconstruction, the Second Civil War. Very interesting. It sort of put a shine of light on why African Americans in this country cannot get a foothold, a real good foothold, as far as property is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Civil War, after Lincoln freed us...
No, I mean, Abraham Lincoln didn't free any African people.
Well, after the Proclamation.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Johnson took over.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear the music in the background. Can I call back or...
I have a guest in my next hour, so keep talking. We have 30 seconds or so.
Okay, well, gave all the land that was taken from the rich white and gave it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
and took the land that General Sherman had given to the free men. They did give them the mule and the 40 acres, especially down in the South Carolina area. When that guy took over... They took it back and gave it back to them. And the Republican Party, a part of the Republican Party called the Radical Republican, stood up for the free men, and they fought to get that land back to them. And that's when the 14th Amendment came in. And then this was around 1868, 69, 70.
Okay, and got a roll. Sorry, thanks for your call.
Okay,
All right.
I hope people will, you know.
All right.
It's a three-part series.
All right. Okay, thanks, Lois. We're going to go to the break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
You come all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It asks a lot of questions and it places a lot of blame. A House Republican Committee's report on how the government responded to Hurricane Katrina is due out today. ABC's Bill Greenwood has a preview.
All levels of government shared the blame. A special House committee concluded that an indifferent stance toward post-9/11 disaster preparations left the Gulf Coast unnecessarily vulnerable. The committee's report warned that the failure of Katrina left all Americans justifiably concerned that the government is no better prepared to protect its people than it was before September 11th. Bill Greenwood, ABC News, Washington.
Before the report is released, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff will testify to the Senate Homeland Security Committee.
Open government would demand that the vice president come clean on what happened there.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, part of a growing chorus of lawmakers who want Vice President Cheney to make an official statement about that Texas hunting accident. And ABC's Ann Comptes tells us it's not just Democrats.
As might be expected, the Democrats say Cheney should, quote, come clean. They accuse the broader administration of secrecy on issues. But even several Republican voices, including former Bush Press Secretary Ari Fleischer, agree the administration has not handled this well.
The man Cheney shot is recovering from a heart attack, which begs the question, what would happen should Harry Whittington die from his injuries?
As might be.
And we are told that authorities in Texas say that it is not a criminal investigation at this point, but should Whittington die, there could be a new report that would spur a grand jury investigation. An ABC News exclusive. It's a 10-year-old tape of former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein says the U.S. could be attacked by terrorists, but it wouldn't be Iraq and that the attack would be nuclear or biological. This is ABC News.
I promise a new coat of paint.
Stain Master Carpet on every floor.
Guys, enough campaigning.
This President's Day weekend, coming to Lowe's for great values on the best brand names. Now through Monday, purchase any 1 gallon of Olympic Premium interior paint and get a $5 mail-in rebate, or 5 gallons and get $20 back. Also get 20% off all special order Stain Master Carpet. Discount does not apply to in-stock carpet. Between now and the 20th, use your Lowe's consumer credit card on any purchase of $2.99 or more and ask for special financing for 12 months. See store for details.
Good values are important.
Hey, no debate there.
Another way Lowe's is improving home improvement.
Larry King here. You know I've been taking Ester C for years. Did you know that now I take Ester E too? This is a vitamin E with a difference. Only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body's ready to use it. It's a unique form of all natural E captured for the first time in a supplement. Do what I do. Take Ester E. Advanced protection. Ester protection. Look for Advanced Protection Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
American skier Lindsay Kildow competed in today's women's downhill, but she was still too banged up from that bad fall she took earlier this week to medal. There were plenty of surprises for the men yesterday. ABC's Todd Ant has details from Torino.
It wasn't long after Bodie Miller's disqualification when Ted Ligety turned the U.S. ski team's emotions from disappointment to sheer elation when he won the combined gold medal.
I was just planning on sticking with my game plan of really hammering down good slalom runs to make up some more time on those guys.
Ligety is still pinching himself.
I wouldn't have expected myself to be a gold medalist after the combined, for sure. I mean, it's definitely crazy.
Bodie still has three events to go, but now Ligety will be in the spotlight as well. Todd Ant, ABC News, Torino.
It didn't go over well in the Mideast or on the University of Illinois campus, for that matter. Two editors of the student-run newspaper were suspended after they decided to run the same series of cartoons that sparked violence in the Islamic world. One showed the Prophet Muhammad wearing a bomb instead of a turban. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
GNU News Report. This update is brought to you by Accountemps. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Less than 2 weeks after a judge's ruling declaring the ordinances allowing it null and void, a controversial development plan in Sunset Hills is officially off the table. The Sunset Hills Board of Aldermen last night repealed the ordinances that would have made the Novus development plan possible. Now, members of the group Stop the Sunset Hills Land Grab are calling on city officials to work with residents to rebuild the Sunset Manor neighborhood, where the proposed shopping center would have been built. Novus failed to secure financing for the plan, and some homeowners have been left with two mortgages. Months after the fiery explosion at the Praxair gas processing facility near Lafayette Park, medical officials say they believe now that explosion led to a woman's death. The Praxair plant was rocked by the explosion last June 24th, and officials then reported no serious injuries. But according to a report in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the chief city medical examiner, Dr. Michael Graham, has ruled that a 32-year-old woman's death was brought on by the smoke from the explosion. The woman apparently suffered an asthma attack after walking home the day of the fire and never recovered before her death more than a week later. In Jefferson City, healthcare advocates are asking the Missouri legislature to reverse cuts they say are having a negative impact on seniors, the disabled, and the working poor. Craig Henning, a spokesperson for the Missouri Advocates for Independent Living, says there's one particular bill they hope to see passed,
which would restore the Medical Assistance for Workers with Disabilities program. And they're estimating about 3,200 of the 90,000 people who lost coverage would be able to regain their coverage and regain employment.
Despite that, Henning says 87,000 people would still, quote, be out of the loop, unquote. A group of advocates went to the state capitol yesterday to ask legislators to have a heart on Valentine's Day and help those less fortunate. And finally, a teenager is accused of going on a joyride in a truck stolen from Lambert Airport. Authorities say the 14-year-old stole the landscaping truck yesterday as its driver worked on a nearby median. Police saw the truck a short time later and took the teenager into custody. This is not the first vehicle that's been stolen from the airport. In December, a team led police on a chase into Jefferson County while driving a stolen Lambert Airport police car. That's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Accountemps, the industry leader in financial and accounting temporary staffing. Call or visit them today at accountemps.com. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Mr. Clean Premium Windshield Wash. Northbound 55 at Gasconade, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 255 at Jefferson Barracks, there's road marking, has left lane closed. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall, expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 between Hampton and McCausland, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 170 between Scudder and Airport Road, there's an overturned vehicle reported way in the ditch. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, there's still slow traffic going on there. Timberlake Manor and southbound are 40. Look for those traffic lights not to be working. Southbound Lindbergh at Jamestown. Look for road construction. Right lane is closed. Northbound Route W at 30 and Burnsville Road. Look for road maintenance operations having one lane closed. And also Page at Chutes
and 270. There's road marking operations going on, or road maintenance operations, I should say. One lane will be closed. And westbound Page between 270 and Bennington, there's also road maintenance operation there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Mr. Clean Premium Windshield Wash. Before the next winter storm hits, try Mr. Clean Premium Windshield Wash. The advanced formula will keep your windshield clean all year long and protects in up to minus 30 degrees when you need it the most. Try Mr. Clean Windshield Wash today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, variable cloudiness, cooler, shower likely this afternoon, high around 55. This evening, mostly cloudy, a little rain with a low around 45. Thursday, a couple of showers are possible, even a thunderstorm, the high around 55. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain with a low around 25. Then on Friday, chilly and partly cloudy skies with a high around 32. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 46 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting 47 and some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brothers, stop resisting. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brothers, stop resisting.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not ask us for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that. The Wake Up Call. My show is archived at whiterosesociety.org, at whiterosesociety.org, and we are streamed at WGNU.net. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We have so much stuff to talk about. There are so many things that are dangerous that are going on in our society, so many things that are that we need to have our finger on the pulse of. The wake-up call is one way to get that done. Get that done. We need to take care of our health. We need to pay attention to what is going on with us. And I apologize because there are just so many things that we are supposed to be responsible for. I apologize that I'm always bringing you stuff that we need to be responsible for. It is. It's a 24/7 job trying to keep things straight about what we should be attentive to. And I apologize for being the person that has to bring you this information about this. But we're going to go ahead and do it because despite the difficulty and despite the challenges, sometimes the best defense is being knowledgeable and knowing what you are supposed to do. So this morning, we're going to talk about something that you probably know as, you might know it as Alka-Seltzer Plus Cold, Alka-Seltzer Plus Cold Sinus, Alarest Products, Daytrill Extra. You might know it as Tylenol, Actifed Cold, and Sinus. And you know what? Our guest is not going to be with us this morning. After all of that, our guest is not going to be with us. So we're going to go ahead and switch up on you. We're going to go ahead and switch up on you, folks. We're going to let this be open lines and open calls. Let's get this done another way. We'll talk about that at another time. Let me get to some other information here. That's what happens in live radio sometimes. Let me get to my favorite topic of the week here. Let me get to, back to Dick Cheney and what's going on with him. A story that is coming out of the New York Times just this morning. Just this morning. Yesterday was the 14th. That would make today the 15th. The story coming out of New York Times this morning. The account given yesterday by the doctors caring for a Texas lawyer, the 78-year-old man shot in the face by Dick Cheney, raises serious questions about how and when a pellet entered his heart and what tests were done to establish where the pellet was lodged. That's what other doctors outside of this case are saying. Now, the public was told for the first time yesterday that a shotgun pellet from a hunting accident had lodged in the lawyer, the 78-year-old's heart. One of his doctors said that we knew we had some birdshot very close to the heart from the get-go, but not its precise location. Huh. Now, how would you find out if there's buckshot near your heart? I'm not a doctor, but I think that an x-ray would be very helpful at this time. One would think that an x-ray would show metal in your body. I'm just guessing. I don't know all the technical stuff that goes into being a doctor, but from my perspective, I think an x-ray would show that. Or a CAT scan. Now, when we first heard about this story, the reports were that it was minor. They say that Dick Cheney shot this 78-year-old man with 6 to 200 pieces of birdshot. One pellet apparently moved to damage his heart. Two caused, and they caused two problems: an abnormal heart rhythm and fibrillation. Now, what does that do? What do those two situations do? it opens up the possibility of how the buckshot migrated to the heart. And there was a doctor that had, there was a doctor that we have that was the chairman of the Weill Cornell Medical College, said that the heart, it is unlikely that the pellet would migrate to the heart through the bloodstream, as some have assumed from the doctors, the Texas doctors. Why? Because the pellet would have to go to it through a vein, would have to travel through the lungs that goes through the heart, then lodge in the heart tissue and not in its chambers. The pellets were approximately 5 millimeters, about the size of a BB, and larger than most blood vessels. So how did it get there? Huh? The more likely question is, the more likely thing is, the more likely fact is that the bullet was already there. The bullet landed there when he was shot. Now, doctors use different X-ray techniques to determine the position of a pellet in the heart, but the account of the Texas doctors was unclear regarding which ones were performed and when. Texas Heart Hospital Emergency Department said the doctors did an ultrasound, a CT scan, and a cardiac catheterization. Really? How did the bullet, how did the pellet, how did the piece of shrapnel get there? Huh. And also another mystery is how did they determine that he had a heart attack? Two standard tests from electrocardiograms and measuring enzymes. Injuries to the heart can cause a rise in enzymes that may not necessarily represent a heart attack. Huh. And when they tried to talk to them about that, the doctors, not surprisingly, did not respond to a request for an interview. Huh. Milton, good morning.
Yes, ma'am. I want to talk about the bird hunter, Dick Cheney was in, and the patient he shot, the member he shot.
Go right ahead, Milton.
Oh, okay. The shot that he's talking about, he was shot with was bird shot. Trying to correct you, but buckshot is a stronger shot than the bird shot. See, a buckshot would be double ounce, a single ounce, slug. That's what you shoot.
They're referring to it as bird shot.
Wait.
Is there a difference between bird shot and buckshot? Is there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and they're saying this was bird shot.
Bird shot, that's a lighter load. That's real light for birds and things. But buckshot, which you would shoot deals and like large game buckshots and slugs and double offs.
Okay, so this is what he was shot with, what the 78-year-old man was shot in the face by the vice president was shot with. Bird shot.
That would be sixes, fives or something like that.
5 millimeters is what they're saying, about the size of a BB and larger than most blood vessels.
Yes, ma'am. Buckshot was a BB, like kind of like ball bearings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not kind of correct you, but I...
Oh, no. I appreciate that because there should be a distinction made that
yes.
It's not buckshot, it's birdshot.
Yes, not buckshot, it's birdshot.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Milton.
Belton. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Tom.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I'm no Dick Cheney lover, but hunting accidents, that is very possible that happened that way, because quail... I've hunted on the type of situation you're talking about when I was a kid, and birds don't fly necessarily always up in the air. They fly, you know, around. And Mr. Cheney was using a 28-gauge shotgun, which is almost the smallest gauge you can hunt with. And so I mean, I find the man abhorrent, but I just want to make it clear that it is very possible that, you know, that kind of accident could happen.
I don't think that, and let me make myself clear. I think I know, what I'm trying to do on this show is to examine all possibilities.
Right.
Sure, it could have happened like you said. Sure, it could have happened another way, too.
Right, but I'm just saying that it is, you know, in that kind of environment where you have a lot of people hunting and quail.
But doesn't, and Tom, let me ask you this, because you do have a lot of, Dick Cheney didn't travel to this canned hunt because he got out of a truck and started hunting. He didn't travel there by himself. I submit to you, and we'll never know this to be sure, but I submit to you, there were at least a dozen or so people with him, including the Secret Service, including all of the, because the ambulance was right there, the doctors were right there. So there were at least a dozen people there, and you've hunted before. In a situation like that, when it's close quarters, they didn't walk that far from the truck to start shooting. Don't you holler out? Don't you give a heads up? Don't you let people know, or at least keep track of where your hunting party is before you shoot?
You think you do, but the problem, as a kid, my father used to take customers out, people like Cheney,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always hunted with them. You know, I hunted with them a lot, and people get, you know, when you're hunting quail, I actually saw a dog get shot. Hunting quail, because the dog came around a corner and a quail had flown over the dog and the dog jumped up in the air, and it was only a matter of 6 feet, you know, and the, you know, everybody that was hunting that particular day were actually very good hunters. They just, you know,
but a dog is keeping track of where the dog is different than keeping track of where one of your hunting partners are.
I've had shotguns fired, you know, over my head when I was a little kid because people got excited and they, you know, the bird flies and you're following the bird and all of a sudden, you know, you get disoriented. I've just seen too many, you know, situations where it very well could have happened.
And let me ask you this, Tom, as just, you're a human being out here, you've had plenty of life, you're all the way grown up man, so you've had plenty of life experiences out here. And do you have children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, both of them work at a preserve exactly like the situation.
Well,
they're handlers. What they do is they take the people out, and they have to, you know, watch very carefully because...
I agree, because you have different levels of experience out there, different temperaments out there, different abilities out there despite the experience. So you have all of those things. But my question to you as a parent and as a human being that's been out here for a while, if you're trying to find out what happened and the person that you're trying to find out what happened from is not cooperative, or resistant, and evasive, and doesn't apologize for it, what conclusion are you going to draw about what they're telling
you? Okay, let me put it this way. I find it amazing that you're surprised because we can't find out what happened to 9/11.
There you go.
And, you know, so I'm not, that they're handling this properly or anything. I just wanted to put a perspective on it that's a little different because I've, you know, been there many times, and to get to a hunting accident is always a tragic thing.
And I guess when we question the veracity of if this hunting accident was played out like we're being told, we also, because we're adults and because we have life experience out here, we also have to factor into our assessment of what happened, because none of us were there, the willingness of the parties to come forward and tell us what happened.
But they haven't. I mean,
and if they haven't, then we got to
come forward about anything.
There you go.
You know,
there
so you. I mean, I saw. I find, you know, I'm just saying is that, you know, the situation as they stated it
could have happened, and I don't believe them is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I don't believe them because they haven't been truthful about this. They haven't been forthcoming about this,
right.
And they haven't been truthful about anything else.
Right, but it, you know, and the other side of the coin is it could be an accident, and they're just incompetent bumblers trying to, you know, make the best thing out of it because that, you know, and I think that is most likely there's no reason that, you know, the Vice President of the United States is going to shoot somebody intentionally.
But there is a reason why he would try to cover it up.
Sure.
And that's the point.
Right.
The point is that he has no right to keep this from us. That is not a choice that he gets to make.
The, a comparison would be, and it's interesting because the Tylenol, you know, bit was taken off your show,
mm-hmm.
or you know, whatever happened.
We had a problem with our guest.
But if you go back, that was one of the few times that any company really handled a like crisis well.
Mm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
They came
You're
out
right.
and
You're
over
right.
the weekend, pulled all the product, repackaged it.
That's right.
And did it.
And it wouldn't happen today.
Well, you know, read that. Maybe it would. But they're handling it.
Totally different.
Yeah.
All right, and I got to roll back.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. William.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You still wonder why Cheney wasn't in the Army? Could you imagine that was a rocket launcher and you were standing 3 feet from him? Yeah, I need some tires on my truck. I'm going to head down to Sears this afternoon.
Very good.
Yeah.
And mention it to them that you heard about it here.
All right.
Take care.
You know, the rich boys always get to cover up things.
Oof. And here's the thing. I mean, there's no choice in this. This hasn't happened in over 100 years, and the last time it happened was when a vice president was dueling with somebody.
Right.
So you shot a 78-year-old man in the face. Apologize for it. Apologize for it.
Hey, Liz, they ought to go to paintball. Paintballs, that's what they should go to.
Thanks.
You have a good day, ma'am.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Dan.
Hey, Liz, how do you know that he hasn't apologized for it? I mean, I'm not a big fan of Cheney.
Well, how do I know? I know
like Clinton went, let me just interrupt.
Okay, sure.
When that whole deal with Clinton and Monica was going on,
mm-hmm.
I could really care less what the personal life of a president or
what two grown people do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They would hold some respect to the office.
Uh-huh. And well, okay, how do we know that he hasn't apologized? We know that he hasn't apologized because there has been no statement from his office
She doesn't have to apologize to me.
Yes, he does have to apologize to the American people because if a vice president who makes a mistake and shoots somebody doesn't feel the need to apologize to the American people, then we're all in a lot of trouble.
Well, I think he should apologize for probably getting us in this war shooting some guy in the face.
I think both. I don't think this is an either-or situation. This is a situation where a man shot another man in the face, a 78-year-old man in the face with a gun, and he hasn't apologized. There's been no written statement. In fact, his office, his spokesperson, Mary Matlin, has said he's done nothing wrong. And not only does he need to apologize, he also needs to explain to the American people, why did you wait 24 hours? What were you trying to cover up? That's irresponsible as well. And the American people are entitled to know why it appears he attempted to cover this up. Of course there's an explanation that he has to give to us because he's an elected official, he's a public official, and that's what he is supposed to do.
Yeah, I just think this is a diversion. I think we got a lot bigger problems.
I think this is an underscore of exactly the problem that we have. If he's not going to apologize for something like this, if he's going to cover up something as trivial as this...
accidents happen. I mean,
then apologize!
He probably apologized to the guy who got shot in the face.
Apologize to the American people for covering it up.
To me.
Yeah, well, okay, well then...
I'll tell you what he could apologize for is wasting money on Katrina where they got campers, that they're just a complete fraud, waste, and abuse about that.
It's not an either or. It's not
war.
An either-or situation. If you are a liar about this, well, then apologize for it. Say you were wrong and explain to the American people why you tried to cover it up. We're taking a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me.
Some way, some
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA Director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters, and associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic Entertainment. Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars in prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Patty Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series. On Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park, explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play, Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott, performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017. Or go to www.mohistory.org.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Did I give you that number? Well, let me give you this one. 454-0400 is my phone number right here. 454-6609 is my fax number. My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I don't know. It just, what is it going to take to wake people up? What is it going to take to engage people in the events that are happening that will impact on the quality of their lives? What's it going to take? I'm looking at this budget that George Bush introduced. Billions are going to the war. But inner city Indian health clinics, defibrillators in rural areas, educational campaigns about Alzheimer's disease, centers for traumatic brain injuries, a nationwide registry for Lou Gehrig's disease, all of that would be eliminated in this budget. This budget would cut close to $1 billion in health care grants, and it would kill the entire budget of the Chris... Who is this? Christopher Reeve. Who is that? What happened to Christopher Reeve? He died, that's right, of complications brought on by paralysis after a horseback riding accident. He was the guy that played Superman, right? President after president had him at the White House talking about the research going into paralysis. Well, thanks to this good president, his budget would kill the entire budget of the Christopher and Dana Reeve Paralysis Resource Center. Oh, Lord. The spokesperson for the American Heart Association says he cannot fathom why the administration has recommended destroying a $1.5 million program that provides defibrillators to rural communities and trains local personnel on how to use the machines to restart hearts that go into cardiac arrest. Let me get this straight. Let me just try to paint a picture for you. Let me just try to underscore where we are right now. We have an administration that we pay for because of who he selected, who the guy sitting in the White House selected to be his running mate. We are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more, every year to follow him around with a defibrillator. To follow Dick Cheney around with an ambulance. To follow Dick Cheney around with a bevy of doctors to keep him alive. Okay? We're paying that money. Okay, I ain't mad. You know, I mean, that's who he chose. We have to pay for him. But isn't it the definition of? Isn't it just the, if you open up the dictionary and looked up the word heartless, you would see a picture of Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. They are eliminating a lousy $1.5 million program that provides defibrillators, the things that keep Dick Cheney alive probably on an hourly basis. Every 15 minutes, somebody is hollering clear down in the bunker and attaching a defibrillator to him. Or not. The fact of the matter is how heartless can you be when you need a defibrillator following you around 24/7 that you would cut out a program where other people can't get theirs? What kind of heartless monster are you? Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? Mike Carfon.
How you doing, young lady?
I'm outstanding.
I can't add anything else to that. But let me ask you this, or maybe bring this to the table. Out of all of the past presidents that were seriously wealthy, I think JFK was the only one that, he didn't accept any pay for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's not only accepting pay, they're marketing everything that they can to increase their pay while they're in office.
And let's tell the truth and shame the devil. They have, Dick Cheney and George Bush have gotten pay raises.
Right.
And they are multimillionaires.
Yeah.
And they got it the old-fashioned way. They stole it.
Yeah. You have a good day, Mike.
All right. Take care of yourself, right. Mike. It's amazing. It is amazing. They're eliminating a $1.5 million program that provides defibrillators to people in rural areas. In September 2004. Oh, what a few years. Difference a few years make. In September 2001, the Bush administration was so proud of its decision to underwrite the resource center named after Christopher Reeve, the late Superman, that they were so excited they used this as such a big press thing. Tommy Thompson, you remember him, he was the guy that was the then secretary. He delivered the $2 million check his own self. In the years since, the administration and Congress increased the budget to $6 million, funding the website, a toll-free hotline, rehabilitation programs, scholarships to help paralyzed people live independently. And now George W. Bush says, oh, we're going to make the tax cuts for the wealthy permanent. But your stuff, oh, no, that was on an hourly basis. And your hour has expired. Your husband's dead. What more can we do? And they eliminate the program. Tax cuts for the wealthy, that needs to be permanent. Forever and ever and ever again. Amen. That needs to be permanent. But a rehabilitation center for paralyzed people that provides scholarships for paralyzed people to live independently. Toll-free number, website, rehabilitation programs. Oh, no, baby. Did you think I was serious? Did you think that there was some future in this relationship? You should have known me better than that. You should have checked my track record. I don't stick with nobody that look like you. Are you a white male millionaire, billionaire? Oh, what I got to do with you, what you got to do with me? We're taking a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Good Lord. The truth ain't in them and they don't have a heart. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Update. Dateline Port-au-Prince. Big problems being reported in the national elections in Haiti. The leading candidate, former President René Perval, is charging massive fraud in the vote count, and now civil unrest has broken out in the capital city. Perval supporters are charging that the voting has been manipulated by the United States in order to guarantee American influence in Haitian affairs. A week after the elections, the counting is all but stopped. The early returns indicated Perval had a wide lead with 61% of the vote, but as the results dragged out, that lead has dropped by 20%, and that is a result of tens of thousands of ballots being thrown out from the poorest neighborhoods in Port-au-Prince, an area that is strongly behind him. The U.S. finds Perval a problematic candidate and fears if he is elected, he may allow former President Aristide to return from exile in South Africa and begin to build a new political power base. Last night, television reports showed hundreds of ballots that had been burned and thrown into the trash. If Perval fails to gain 50% of the vote, he'll have to go to a runoff with the other top challengers. But Perval says if that happens, there will be widespread opposition to that. Government officials say they will conduct an inquiry into the fraud charges. The other men in the race for the presidency include 50-year-old Charles Baker, a rich industrialist who opposed former President Aristide and the current government. Former President Leslie Menage, at age 75, he was ousted in a military coup just 5 months after he was elected in 1988 and has spent the last 20 years in exile. And rebel leader Guy Philippe, who left the country in 2000 after being accused of plotting a coup and then led the insurgency that forced out President Aristide. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, where else are you going to get washers, dryers, big screen televisions, and the best customer service in town? Jerome Williams will walk you through the entire process. He takes time. He talks to his customers. He finds out what their needs are. He finds out what their concerns are, and he delivers on all of that. You don't have to go to a cold-hearted mall where all they want is your check. Go to your own neighborhood, full-service Sears. Talk to Jerome Williams. Get what you need. And don't pay $50,000 to fill your tank to get it done. Right here in your neighborhood, Sears, get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown, and when you get on over to the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge, tell them I told you to.
The James Gang is moving. No, not to Merrimack Caverns. The James Gang is moving to Wednesdays at 11 a.m., so join me, Dennis James, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. and saddle up for the James Gang right here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters. And associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life, a hard life. And if we poison our children with hatred, then the hard life is all that they'll know.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I just want to share with you that truthfulness is critical in government. I think that some of us have gotten so cynical about government that we've gotten to the place, well, you know, everybody's going to lie anyway, so. But somebody has to demand that they tell the truth. Somebody has to not submit to the urge of political hopelessness masked as cynicism. The fact of the matter is they're supposed to tell us the truth. And let me just show you how they lie. I want to share with you an exchange that happened yesterday with Scott McClellan with one particular reporter that was trying to get to the bottom of this. Although I do wish that they had exhibited this type of aggressiveness on other issues. But here's the exchange. Question. Scott, I have just two questions to follow up on the accidental shooting by the vice president. Does the president think that the vice president should address this publicly, personally, and speak to the American people in any fashion to explain what happened and why it took so long to disclose it publicly? The response from Scott McClellan. Well, I think what has happened has been explained. The vice president's office has talked about it. I've talked about it. And I represent the president, and I speak for him. The vice president's spokesperson speaks for him as well. So that information has been provided. We went through this pretty thoroughly yesterday. Question. So the president doesn't think that the vice president should actually think about it himself, not through intermediaries. Mr. McClellan, you talk to the vice president on a fairly frequent basis in the past, and I'm sure you will in the future as well. Question, but shouldn't he really have to address specifically? Scott McClellan, well, he has through his office. Okay, let me ask you this then. Is the president concerned that the vice president made decisions about the public disclosure about this incident that are clearly at odds with how you and others advising the president disclose personal information about the president's activities? Scott McClellan, you're getting a little irritated now. If you want to continue to spend more time on that, that's fine. We're moving on to the priorities of the American people. That's where our focus is. Sound like a duck and a dodge to you? Is that a duck and a dodge? Question. That's fair, and that's your prerogative, and I've got my job to do, which is to try to get you to answer that question. Does the president think it's appropriate for the vice president to essentially make decisions at odds with the public disclosure process of this White House? Scott McClellan. Well, I think that I've expressed my views, and we went through this yesterday. Question, but that's a non-answer. Scott McClellan, well, that's what I was trying to indicate to you. Question, does the president have a view about how the vice president has conducted himself? McClellan, again, that's what I indicated to you yesterday, what our views are. Question, no, I don't recall you sharing the president's view. Scott McClellan. Yes, but can I finish responding? I'm glad to answer your questions. Question. You didn't answer that question. It was very respectful. Mr. McClellan, I was very respectful and responsive to you all. Question. The vice president basically decided on his own to not disclose this, which is at odds with how you do business and how the president does business, right? Lord, he's tried to rephrase this a half a dozen ways to get this clown to answer a single question. Answer. I don't want to make this about anything other than what it is. It is what it is, David. I was very respectful and responsive to your questions yesterday. I provided you the information I knew based on the facts that were available, and we've been through this pretty thoroughly. Question. You don't have to answer this question. All right. One final question. You don't have to answer that question. Scott. Wait. I'm not going to go back through it again. I'd appreciate it if you'd let me respond fully before you jump in. All right. Well, hold on a second. I've got one final question. Other people in this room have questions, and we've got an event coming up. I understand that, but I'm not getting answers here, Scott, and I'm trying to be forthright with you. But don't tell me that you're giving us complete answers when you're not actually answering the question, because everybody knows what is an answer and what is not an answer. Do you see how hard these guys trying to get some doggone answers out of them? Scott McClellan, David, now you want to make this about you, and it's not about you. It's about what's happened, and that's what I'm about trying to do. I'm sorry that you feel that way, Scott, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I have one final question, since that one wasn't answered. Is it appropriate for the vice president to have waited 14 hours after the incident before he spoke with local law enforcement officials? And do you think that an average citizen would have been accorded that same amount of time before having to answer questions about a shooting incident? And the answer is, that was all arranged with the local law enforcement authorities. You ought to ask them that question. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? Whoo! Cody.
Liz, shoot a guy in the face hunting mean that you're looking at him and look like you hear somebody hunting with it and agree with him. Well, it sound like the meat on it. And I heard last night that the president ain't got the president yet. He ain't heard about it yet.
When they didn't tell him. They didn't tell George Bush initially that it was Cheney that shot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your call, okay. Cody. 454-0400 is my phone number. There's a reason why this country is in the situation that it's in. You have people that don't answer simple questions about simple things. Why did you wait 14 hours to tell anybody? And isn't that at odds with the practices of the stated practices of this administration? We're in a world of trouble, folks. We are in a world of trouble. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. And I'm here to tell you, we're in a world of trouble. If you want to find out more information about this, you need to get on over to the website. If you want to find out more information about guests that we've had on the show, get on over to the website at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. Until then, I will speak to you all tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. What went so wrong? There are a lot of people who want to ask Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff that about the government's bungling of Hurricane Katrina. He's about to answer some questions for the first of two congressional committees. ABC's Vic Ratner has a preview.
While a congressional report accuses his department of a failure of leadership, White House spokesman Scott McClellan says Michael Chertoff